God's land.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. Messages for ugly people.
CNN thanks you for making us America's most watched cable news network.
Let's take a caller from California. Please go ahead with your question.
Wolf Blitzer, pleasure to speak with you. Is it a fact that if we released this top-secret information, we'd have to release the information about Don and Mike not being on in New York? Is that a fact?
I think we have a weird caller, but that's all right. Let's talk a little bit about Zacharias Massaure.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Stop the rock.
Wah, 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 wah.
Stop the rock.
Stop the rock.
About that last comment, you're on your own.
I don't want to know right around your
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the moonboos.
Take them all! Take them all!
I just can't deal with it. It's too big.
Hey, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
There he is.
Yeah, well, that's close enough for Monday.
Sure.
You know what? I let it slide. We didn't hit it right on the mark.
I liked it, though. It was pretty darn good.
Close enough.
Still tight.
For Monday. Still as tight as a nunny's cutting.
Yay.
And hi, and welcome to the show. Well, he did it again. Yeah. That son of a bitch.
And what the hell is going
on. No question.
The sniper shot Saturday night, no pun intended,
right.
About an hour outside of D.C., closer to Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Then today, you got a Mexican guy who's driving a white van by a payphone.
Mm-hmm.
They arrest him.
And take another guy into custody. What I don't understand is we see all the helicopters and the TV crews where the one guy was arrested, but then you just hear that another guy was taken into custody somewhere where we don't know.
And in the middle of all of this, you have the Moose Man,
mm-hmm. very as cryptic as he can be,
who is like sending secret messages to the sniper via TV and radio.
Right. I always thought that word cryptic was a strange word, but I believe that now I know why the word was invented. So it was invented for those press conferences.
Yeah, exactly. So the chief of police from Montgomery County, the point man mm-hmm. on the shootings in the D.C. Metro, last night he gets on TV and he says, you know, basically, dear sniper, mm-hmm. Have received your letter. We'll call you at the number that you gave us. Then he gets on TV today and he says, dear sniper, we'll get back to you. Wait for our response.
Yeah, yeah, we've gotten your message.
Right.
And we are formulating our response.
That's correct.
And what the frig is going on?
Then they have a press conference down where the Mexican guy, the alleged Mexican guy, because we don't have a confirmation of that yet, was arrested. And they come out and they say, we're questioning these two individuals, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a five-minute press conference.
Just about all we have right now.
Then all the reporters say, we're going to have another press conference right afterwards at the task force headquarters in Rockville, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And then this lady comes out, doesn't even go behind the microphones, and says, we're not going to have a press conference because things are at a very sensitive time right now.
And we just received word that the two men in custody have no direct link to the sniper case.
No, and
so everybody thinks two men in custody were trying to extort the situation.
Hey, I have an idea. We will make money. We will stop the shootings if you pay us money. We will get many pesos, and we will go to a phone booth that is near the Ponderosa.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, these two dumbasses, or the one dumbass who was arrested using the telephone that the cops were watching, as you're watching this unfold on CNN or Fox News, whatever channel you're watching, you have people on the telephone from the Wendy's and from the Burger King and from the car place across the street saying, oh, yeah, everybody could see that the cops had this place staked out.
Yeah. They were there 10 to 15 minutes before the guy showed up. Right.
You could see cops everywhere. They were mm-hmm. hiding behind bushes. You could mm-hmm. see the undercover cars. Meanwhile, you know, Pedro or Chewy, whatever his name is, he pulls up and, you know, dials, I'm guessing he right. called the tip line, right?
Yeah,
that's how it happened. First, they got a tip. Police got a telephone tip that they would find a note in the woods near the shooting, and they found that note, and the note hinted at a need for money, and they set up this arrangement, and exactly as you described, and then they encircled and moved in on this guy, actually two guys. They now know they're undocumented.
That's all we need, two
migrant workers.
Two undocumented aliens mm-hmm. who were probably at DMV last Friday.
I want to thank my number one newsmaker. Who calls me? You know, it's the second time now that you have given me the heads up where I'm sitting over at my computer in La La Land, mm-hmm. oblivious, you know, thinking everything. You know, with this story, you can't take a moment off. You got to be on it all the time. And right. Don calls me and says, watch Fox News Channel. And Fox News Channel was all over it, unlike our local stations. And then I watched, when I finally started watching it,
as they tried to play catch up,
I watched mm-hmm. CNN catch and then pass. Nah. Fox News Channel. CNN starts slow, then they kick the afterburners in because they got probably more resources yes. and more reporters. And right. they're the first ones that said these two guys probably are not directly related to the shooter.
You know what?
But we don't know that for sure yet.
No. I found that I do, there's a part of me, I do enjoy being the town crier on this. I do enjoy.
Oh, well, sure. Let me tell you something. It's appreciated. It is appreciated.
You know, at around 9:30, 10 o'clock, but you know, when you get past the first part of Regis and Kelly Lee, after Regis talks about Notre Dame, you might as well turn the show off because they just have bad guests and they're bad interviewing. I'm flipping around and I'm going to go to all the local stations and there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing. I happen to turn on Fox News and of course, you know, as I've mentioned before on Fox News, it's like watching one of their football games where they've got the graphics that come in. It says Fox right. Alert, and they got the live thing up in the left-hand screen, the American flag, and they got the news, and immediately I think, oh, hear ye, who can I call to tell this news to?
Mm-hmm.
Who can I call and tell them that? Because at that time I thought,
they caught the guy.
Right.
Yeah, it sure looked like if they had a white... You know. And what are the odds? If these guys are trying to extort the situation, do you think they went and got themselves a white van so they'd look like the guy? I mean, who knows?
The van had temporary tags.
Yeah.
They just got it. Okay, here's the idea. What we will do is we will get a white van, then we will call and say, we demand 1,000,000 pesos.
Who knows?
Hello? Police?
Did they say the guy was actually not even an American citizen?
Right. Yeah, undocumented workers, both these men.
Hello? This is Senor Sniper. I demand 1,000,000 pesos. Where am I? I'm at the Exxon. Across the street from the Ponderosa.
Send over your famous SWAT people.
So
we don't even know what they were doing. I mean, nobody knows.
Right.
So I see this, and of course, you know, I'm on the phone with Mike immediately. Then I call my mother-in-law. I call my wife downstairs. I'm calling everybody. Saying, turn it on. Hello. Chief Moose, I demand 250,000 hubcaps.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Jesus, what a mess. And meanwhile, the sniper now, he's broken his regular string.
And that works weekends.
Yeah, he works on weekends,
mm-hmm.
About 70 miles outside the D.C. area.
Yeah, spreading out.
And, you know, I know that we're on in Richmond, and it's a bonehead move to close down the schools. It's just my opinion. You should be resourceful. You should have your head on a swivel. You should look around and see what's going on. You could lock the kids down in school if you have to, but... To close down the schools.
Richmond's not real bright about school closings. They're the one that are still giving the holiday for Lee Jackson King Day, which are the two Southern Civil War generals and
right.
Martin Luther King.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's one holiday down there. So they're just trying to get things ironed out as far as that goes.
I agree with you. The FBI, however, may have asked them to shut down the schools today based on the fact that they knew this little meeting was going down at the Exxon this morning.
So they asked them to shut down the schools because they knew
that's one theory.
If it went bad, but I mean,
can't prove it. But
here's what I'm hopeful about. I'm hopeful about that the reason we are not getting information now, the reason we're not getting these press conferences is because maybe something is going on with the real shooter, mm-hmm. that they are at a sensitive stage. I'm hoping I'm hoping it's not just an idiot assistant to Chief Moose that came out and said that. Because when you say that, we have to realize all those people that get in front of those microphones is everybody is hanging on every word. And when I heard her say, we are at a very sensitive stage.
Well, but here's the thing. You can't trust virtually any of these people who are making the statements unless they're really one of the decision makers. I noticed when the sheriff from Hanover County was on, it was obvious the guy's right out of Dukes of Hazzard. and it's obvious that the reason that the news conference was 2 hours late is that they were rehearsing with this guy to make sure that this dope sheriff, whose biggest bust probably is, you know, a guy going 47 and a 35, that he doesn't screw the pooch and get on TV and say and let everything go, because his mannerisms, his speech pattern was so absolutely forced.
He's really probably used to saying things not in front of microphones.
Right.
He's used to one-on-one communication where he says things along the lines of, you ain't in the big city now, son.
So this guy comes up and he had one of those plastic sheriff hats. You know what I mean? The kind that
they're the state issue, but they are the plastic.
They're plastic, and he stands up and he goes, we apprehended two men, one man this morning. I have nothing else I could say. I cannot answer your question. Thank you. And then as soon as they start with the questions, he goes back to answer. And I see behind him all the guys with the earplugs. They all of a sudden are going, they're touching their ears like someone's going, uh-oh, sergeant's talking. Sergeant's answering questions. Don't let the sergeant answer questions.
Paging Pee Wee Herman. Paging Pee Wee Herman.
We're not going to say anything right now except slow down out there.
The good old boys. And Hanover County is a hell of a place to raise a family. I'd like to announce the Ponderosa is open for business.
Oh, God damn.
Jesus Christ.
We're all really... Everybody is...
Squirrely, man.
Is real squirrely around here.
Absolutely squirrely. We're squirrelified.
So, no... scheduled press conference today.
Right. The only one they had scheduled has been canceled, but that could change at a moment's notice, like everything else in this story.
Hello, Don and Mike.
This is John from Fredericksburg. I don't know if either of you guys saw this morning, but we're watching the news from Richmond, and you're seeing the van just about to pull. They pulled up onto the flatbed, and as important and as serious as all this stuff was, one of the officers is walking along. It's been raining all morning down there.
Oh, I saw when the guy fell.
Yeah, his hands go up in the air, yeah. His feet come out from under him, he lands flat on his back.
So embarrassing.
It wasn't funny. I didn't laugh. It was
I think I'm probably the only one on the show that can speak with experience. It is not really thrilling to be part of a very major news story and fall tragically, okay? I've had it happen to me. I was
9/11
reeling.
At the Pentagon.
And you know, I was down at the United States Powerboat Show with my children yesterday, and I will tell you that those folding chairs, now I am forever traumatized. I now look and examine and completely analyze every little plastic folding chair that I ever sit on. I don't care to sit on. They all make me nervous ever since Wolf Blitzer saw me fall flat on my ass. And I think I did my cohorts justice when I said the reaction was something like this. It was quite a fall. You said my legs and feet went up in the air?
Yes, and immediately everybody, you know what it did? It lightened the mood of a very somber day, 9/11 of the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
It lightened the mood.
It didn't. It hurt.
And I don't know exactly how to put this, but I'm going to put this now, and I don't want to get in the way of the police because I think they're doing a fantastic job. And I just want to do as much as I can on behalf of the Don and Mike Show to assuage everyone's fears and ask the sniper to call the show. And I mean that seriously, call the show. Now, I don't know if we're going to have a bunch of kooks calling in today, but I know that I'm frustrated, like everybody is, that there's not a whole lot of information out there. And I guess the sniper's calling some people, but we don't know what's going on. And I just want to announce that if we can crack this case on the Don and Mike Show, not only will I give the sniper for calling in a 7-Eleven prize pack. I will throw in tickets to see Guns N' Roses. So call now, Mr. Sniper, whoever you are. Really, and if you don't call this show, call the cops and just for God's sakes, just really end this BS.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get caught, get caught. If you don't want to get caught, well, we're going to catch you anyway.
Time to wrap it up.
But, yeah, I agreed, and Buzz, I think everybody feels the exact same way, that now if this dickhead is to the point where he's going to play games, he's going to call the cops, we got to have the chief of police on TV giving messages to this guy while he sits at home and gets his nut, you know, forget it. I'm just offering the show as a way.
You know what you're saying now?
To take the middleman out of the process.
I don't know the details as to why those guys were arrested. You can speculate that they were trying to extort money out of the situation. You're not sure. But it does occur to me that the longer this goes on, you're getting some of the... It's stirring up the dregs, you know. Mm-hmm. You're stirring up the bottom feeders. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to come out now, and you're getting people that are, you know, doing things like that Downey. Is it Downey?
Downey.
Downey.
Yeah.
The guy who
gave the false report.
Bailed
and these guys involved in something. And you're getting... You know, this really does bring out the best in people. I believe that.
Yeah.
Apparently, the wife of this individual that was shot down at the Ponderosa is supposed to be just this incredible woman who has, you know, issued a statement, and I heard her statement read, and you know, it's just incredible. But you also get the bottom feeders that are surfacing now, and Jesus, I think we just all want this thing to end. And you know, I hung on those words, and maybe I shouldn't have, that they said that it was. I hope that what's going on now behind the scenes, somehow there is progress being made. Progress. Because really over the weekend when you heard the stories before this other shooting took place, you heard that the police are stonewalled. I mean, they don't know what's going on.
And of course you can understand the cops. I mean, if they really are working on these leads, they're not going to tell us.
Right.
We're the last people that they're going to tell because they don't want to screw things up.
I'm all for them keeping it completely out of the media. I really am.
I'm torn on that. On one hand, I felt
okay about it today.
I understand that, but now...
After getting furious at the press conference down in Virginia, when I got real mad.
Oh, you mean with the guy with the plastic hat?
Yeah, because I was like, what the hell? Why did you even have a press conference?
Right.
You know?
So you could get on TV. I mean, well, no, that's not the real reason.
I guess to say that these guys were taken into custody.
It's the way that they set things up. It's that you let the arresting county, you let them make the initial announcement, mm-hmm. and then you go back to the center, mm-hmm. the nerve center the in this force, case, yeah. you know, the task force, right, to let the Moose Man handle it.
Right.
I just want to offer the show, though, mm-hmm. as a, I don't want to say safe haven, because if we get the guy, we'll turn him in immediately. Also, I would like to say that I would give a portion of the reward money to charity.
Okay.
If, in fact, we were to help apprehend the sniper on the Don and Mike show.
As usual, your generosity is overwhelming.
And you don't have to do that.
You know, he doesn't have to do is yeah. reveal the portion of the money that he would give to charity.
I would reveal it. I would tell you, it would be a... I consider to be a sizable percentage mm-hmm. of the reward is now $500,000.
That's correct. Yes.
I believe I could go as high as hell, $1,000.
Yeah.
To charity. To
keep
$499,000.
That's very nice of you, Don.
And I'd give away some of it on the show, of course.
Very nice. Wonderful.
And I'd spread a little loot around here, but right. I'm kidding, of course. But Jesus, please just end this.
Yeah.
End this. Stop this. And me railing on this does no good, because you know the cops are doing everything they can.
They're doing everything in their power. One thing you can't do, I don't think anybody is in the mood to slam the police.
They don't need to turn on the radio and hear some fat disc jockey telling them to hurry up. But really, I'm sorry. Hurry up.
Yeah. Please.
Hurry up. Hurry up. This guy.
We all went through the great big tease today. And it was... I think before they even came out and gave the press conference, some of the stories were leaked on the networks like CNN that, this might not be related. And I just got the sense of everybody was getting very depressed. And now we're lower about this than we have been, because we thought maybe they had the guy today and they don't have the guy.
And maybe you guys feel like I do. I don't feel any particular threat on my life. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I might be the next victim tonight when I go to get gasoline. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a slow burn now that has been going on this long, and that the guy, this sick, twisted F, is out there calling the cops and playing these games with them. I mean, I speak for everyone when I say, this is the greatest nation in the world. Let's just catch this bastard. And the thing is, there has to be somebody out there, some regular Joe out there who knows him.
Knows something.
There has to be somebody out there who knows this guy.
Except for one thing.
What?
If it is terrorism. If it is terrorism, and it is individuals that have, come into this country, and they, one thing these guys know how to do,
I will give you
is
that.
To maintain the low profile.
And, you have held on to that from day one.
And, if it's not that, if it is this... I heard white male with and here's an analysis that I found interesting, who is mentally in his 20s.
Yeah.
That's what they said. Somebody who's mentally in his
20s. Hey, that could be me, man.
Oh, come on. Teens.
I'm mentally in my teens. You're right. I'm sorry. We're both
in our teens.
Don't fit the profile.
No.
That'd be, I guess, maybe Buzz. Buzz is mentally in his 20s.
No, Buzz would be Buzz is mentally the late Bob Crane. But... it's just nuts. It's so nuts right now.
And one last thing. Would all of the media please stop referring to the man as the Beltway Sniper?
Yeah.
Because he's really never shot anybody
right.
on the Beltway.
They keep looking for a name for this guy.
Yeah, I know. But, serial sniper works for me.
Right.
Killer on the loose.
There's
works
a new
for
term
me.
That I found with the bombing in Israel today. And you know what? As we sit here and talk about the news of the day, I can only think about my kids and kids that are 12 and 13 years old. And I know when I was growing up, it was the end of Vietnam, and I remember being nervous about, because you heard about the talk about the Russians and that if we got too involved, there'd be... And I remember those little things made me uptight. I can't imagine, with the news today, what it must be like to be a 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kid growing up. Because you got to have this fear in your gut all the time, and I was thinking about kids and how kids are affected by this. Man, it is such a sick world, but they're calling the bombers now homicide bombers, not suicide bombers.
Mm-hmm.
A homicide bombing. Did you see that on CNN or Fox?
Oh, who came up with that one? Who came up with that?
They're calling them homicide bombers.
But they kill themselves.
Yes.
And many a lot of other people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of course they kill them. Right. Yeah, you're right, Buzz.
So it speaks to the question when a homicide bomber tries to approach a bus, they kick him off and he starts running away and goes off accidentally. He's the only one that gets blown off. Do you still call him a homicide bomber or a suicide bomber? Yeah. Just the things we talk about today. I mean, really,
yeah.
I sound like an old fart, but what's wrong with the world?
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Donna Mike, love your show, man.
Thank you. You were calling from Richmond, right?
Actually, I'm calling from D.C. I'm from Richmond.
Gotcha.
But I couldn't agree with you more, man. This sniper needs to wrap this crap up. It's getting old. And I think if they up the ante a little bit, what are they offering, like $500,000?
Right.
I think if they up it up a little bit, I think one of his buddies may turn him in, or at least, you know, get him out of there.
I think for $500,000, you would have a pretty good incentive for someone who knows him to call the tip line anonymously and, as the kids say, drop a dime on him.
Right. You know,
exactly.
Having been in neighborhoods...
Call the 5-0 and drop a dime.
Having been in neighborhoods where we've had the weird guy, we had a weird guy in our neighborhood, and weird people in neighborhoods, yeah, they're noticed, but there's certainly their comings and goings really aren't noticed because, you know, they do. The fact that makes them weird is that they're out and about at all weird times, and really a lot of people just avoid them, you know, don't have anything to do with them.
Well, you know, and it does make you wonder. There are people that I've known who I think could fit the profile.
Don't a lot of these serial killers, though, end up being people that nobody had any clue that they were, you know, normal neighborhood people that everybody thought were perfectly all right?
Can I throw out a name, really, that I threw out this weekend? Or
I'd like to hear this.
This is somebody who you suspect because of their...
No, it's somebody I was talking... Actually, I was talking with a neighbor on Sunday, the guy, the champion of industry, the guy who was positive that 9-11, that nine people killed and 11 wounded meant that it was terrorism. It was
so much for that theory.
So when the 12th person was shot, we were talking, and he's now changed his position, and he thinks that it could be just some random nut job.
Doesn't he relinquish his right to comment, though, when his theory's wrong?
Well, I guess, but Mike, it's America. He was on the front porch. What am I going to do?
There you go.
Tell him to leave because his dumb 9/11 theory didn't pan out.
On your Mayberry front porch.
I did mention that it could be anybody, and I said, you know, it could be somebody who you wouldn't even expect would have a knowledge of guns, someone who generally seems to be someone with a pretty happy outlook on life, maybe someone who's not particularly happy with the way their life is going, but on the exterior, they try to put up a good front, and then all of a sudden, I swear, it just went Joe Artinger. That was the name that I came up with. Now, I didn't call the tip line because I don't have anything beyond the fact that he's just the world's oldest phone screener.
Right.
And I know that he's terribly upset on occasion by the fact that he gets his balls busted on the show.
Right.
But I'd like to call him in now just to clear his name.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We can ask where he was over the weekend.
I'd like to know if Joe was anywhere near Richmond, Virginia, or Ashburn, Virginia, on Friday, Saturday night.
Ashland.
Here he comes.
Now, Joe?
Joe, where were you this weekend?
Please don't take offense. Because generally it was a compliment that I was thinking someone who is...
How could this man take offense at anything with what he's been through over the years?
Someone who is at a dead-end position in life, but basically is happy with the fact that...
Of course.
That, you know, there's never going to be a chance for you to rise above the lowly position that you have here on the show, but
it's still a great position to be on the show.
Absolutely.
And you, even though I kid about firing you, and Mike, in fact, a couple of weeks ago did fire you three times in one night.
might have been four, but I think Joe was drinking too.
You know that that's just in jest, and that
most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. But you know, seriously.
I know when it's serious.
No, but when we were out the night, the three times I fired him, I was dead serious.
But you know that we really wouldn't fire you, that we know that eventually we'll just wear down on you, where you become like every phone screener and you have to quit.
Right, exactly.
But Joe, where were you on Saturday night?
Saturday night I was at home cooking ribs.
Do you have a...
By yourself?
No, I had my girlfriend with me and some other friends hanging out.
Other friends.
Beer.
That's the alibi.
Well,
other friends.
Then you're off the hook.
I own no weapons either.
Oh, really?
I'm not a gun nut, so.
Okay, well, that's what I was thinking. It'd be someone that you would not immediately think.
Right.
Like, we used to have a neighbor who did have an absolute friggin' arsenal.
Yeah.
I mean, this.
And I think those are people that you have to look hard at. And you've given your theory, and when you're talking about weapons ownership and people that are scary.
Do you want to call him in?
Yeah. Wendell? Wendell, could you come in here, please?
Our engineer. And Wendell, as you make your way in, I'd like to point out it was Mike who called you to the witness stand.
God damn it, Don.
It was Mike. It wasn't
God
me.
God damn it, I thought you'd protect me.
It wasn't me. No. In the world of Wendell, absolutely not.
I thought you would protect me.
Absolutely not. Listen, my theory was
always
Joe.
Kind of tense.
But Joe has got an alibi. Sweet,
yes.
Doughy-headed Joe.
Yeah,
our wonderful phone screener with his dead-end job.
Wendell has gone out to, you know,
no pun intended,
the prairies of Wyoming and fired things like, here he comes.
Here he is now. Wendell,
wait a minute now, because Don.
Wendell is Shaggy Sang.
Hi, Mike.
It wasn't me.
Hi, Wendell.
Just know that, buddy. It wasn't me.
Let's just get the, do you know?
Note the shirt he's wearing. He's wearing a shirt. He's wearing a black shirt.
No,
a black t-shirt.
No, the outer shirt. Show the logo, the outer shirt.
But what's the logo?
Take a look at it. Read
NRA?
The logo.
Well, he always wears NRA stuff.
Yeah, precisely. The hat an NRA hat, too?
No. What is the hat? The hat says something about Montana. Glacier Mountain, Glacier National Park.
That sounds harmless.
Montana.
Yeah, harmless. That's where those militias are.
I know.
That's where he takes the bodies. Wendell, where were you Saturday night?
At home.
Alone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Do you have anyone who could vouch for the fact that you were at home on Saturday night?
No.
You do not. What about the previous Monday evening, or a week ago today?
I don't remember.
The Home Depot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I don't recall.
You don't recall.
The witness
killing
does not
me
recall.
Right now. Pardon the pun.
What about any of the other? Have you been contacted?
No, but I do have some people that can vouch for me for at least one.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, that's fine. Okay.
Oh, well, then he's cleared.
It would be the one where I was at the gay bar with you, Mike.
Okay, Wendell, you're excused.
Thank you, Wendell.
Thank you very much.
Wendell Hall, everybody.
I'm so relieved.
Wendell Hall.
There he goes.
And there's one other person.
And you know what? I would be Wendell's alibi because I was actually in the car with him when that happened.
Right. And I hate to profile, but I'm going to profile. I've got just one more. Will Haji come in here, please?
Oh, Jag.
Jag.
Would you bring Haji in?
Very nice young man.
Yes, I know, but I must ask.
Do you call Jag Haji?
Not to his face.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I will now.
We can ask him if he doesn't mind that nickname.
I bet he's so young you wouldn't even know that it was a reference to Johnny Quest.
Well, we can explain, because I would be more than comfortable calling him Haji instead of Jag. If he goes along with it, that would be cool.
Hi,
Jag, how the hell are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Haji.
Doing great.
Now, Haji was a friend of Johnny Quest in a cartoon show.
Are you familiar with Haji?
I remember growing up on that.
So the nickname, I mean, if that's our nickname for you, you don't mind?
Not at all. Excellent. For you guys, it's all good.
Fantastic.
Now, here's the thing. You got to know Haji here. He's got the Bin Laden beard hat.
He does. Absolutely.
And he has the Middle Eastern look.
Right.
And he wears a skull cap most days, although today it's... What do you got? It's a turban.
It's
a turban.
Turban. Yeah.
Okay. The question, Haji, is where were you Saturday night?
I was actually at a concert in D.C. Armory.
Yeah, you can't get... You had friends and stuff with you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it's cool if we call you Haji, that's
absolutely
cool? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it when somebody accepts their nickname.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
He's a good guy.
There he is. Hot.
And now we play the theme
to Johnny Quest.
Really, in my growing up, it was my absolute favorite cartoon show.
Haji, you don't own a white van or a box truck. What do you drive to work?
I have a Volvo.
A Volvo?
Yes, good man.
That and a magic carpet.
All right, touche.
Thank you, Jag.
Well, there you go. We've taken the top three suspects off our list.
And I don't believe there's anybody else.
Well, there is
one. I'm not saying it, no.
There is one. I'm not going to call him in here.
No.
But there is one other person.
And if he's listening, he knows that we're both afraid of him.
There's one other person who fits your psychological profile.
The guy, no stranger to firearms.
Uh-huh. And a guy who might hold a grudge.
Yeah, a guy that we're not going to mess with. You know what? It's a sensitive time for us here at the radio station.
I can think of other places he would have shot first.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're right.
Absolutely.
Maybe you're correct. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hiya. I'm the idiot that came up with the term homicide bomber.
You're the idiot?
No, I'm not the idiot. I know the idiot who came up with it.
Oh. Who? Who's that?
George Bush, the president.
Oh,
F you, white trash.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you know, there you go. I don't mind it. I just thought it was, it's new jargon. Yeah. It's new jargon, and I think it's, you know, it's okay, but I mean, you got...
If it's a Bushism, you can understand.
Yeah. And he's, I mean, if anybody has a right to call him homicide bombers, I'm with the president.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Listen, this is Eric from Baltimore, and I got to tell you, I'm fed up with this sniper, because I'm a school photographer, and I feel sorry for all these kids. Most all the schools are canceling their homecomings because they don't want the kids at the schools and the football games and everything.
You don't hear it enough, and I this is going to sound jive, okay? But I think really for parents, like you probably already don't know, you hear all this talk about how you present it to your kids and how you handle, you know, the way you explain it. That's all. Listen to the experts. I'm not an expert. Do what you will. But just... You know, hug them more, love them more, because really, I remember how I felt at that time, 12, 13 years old, and I can imagine you got a lot of kids walking around with this all inside of them, and they are just in knots, because it is a scary, scary thing to be a 12, 13, 14-year-old kid anyway, and this just sucks.
Mike, I urge everybody to take the advice of Channel 7 anchorman, Doug McElwain.
Oh, always, Tom. What would that
be? Don't you remember when he got on the air and he said, well, what I tell my kids, he looked right into the camera one of the times he was ad-libbing last week, is
right.
We live in a metro area of between 4 and 5 million people, and statistically speaking, your chance of being shot is very, very low.
Okay. All right, I'd like to pull off that. I don't endorse Doug McElwain.
Doug McElwain, News 7. Out.
Oh, I feel bad for the kids. I do. Yeah, I really do.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Okay.
I got a few ideas that we can do with the sniper dude when we catch him.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
All right, honey.
Okay, here's...
Are you a man or a woman?
Sorry, I'm a woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I have a deep voice.
All woman. Yeah, baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a few ideas that George Carlin actually came up with these. When we catch this guy, here's one nice thing we can do to him. You can dip him in brown gravy and you lock him in a small room with a Wolverine and Silent Angel dust.
Creative. George Carlin would be a good guy to call in for this. George Carlin is very angry.
Yes. A Wolverine high on angel dust.
Yeah, man. Somebody won't be.
All right, what else? Give us one more.
Okay, you could always, I don't know if I could say this over the air.
But you just use letters if you have to use a bad word.
Okay. You can hook up his,
his package, his genitals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you hook him up to a car battery.
Yeah. That's it.
Simple
but effective.
Thank you, honey.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
the last, I guess it was the last concert George Carlin did. Here are other people that ought to be taken into the woods and beaten with a stick.
Yeah.
That's the funny new angry George Carlin.
I love George Carlin. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to pose this question, especially for Buzz. Mm-hmm. I was in Richmond Saturday night, and the local affiliate there had an amateur videographer who said he taped someone being arrested at the scene on Saturday. I didn't know of that, but I've heard nothing else about it other than the local affiliate there in Richmond. Have you guys heard anything?
No, that had to be either a separate crime or not what it appeared to be, because that obviously didn't develop into anything.
All right, well, Buzz will keep us abreast of anything that happens during the show, right? So we can...
Right. Oh, absolutely.
We can move on.
I think it's safe to say that...
Great work, Radio God.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think the whole town now and everybody around our Washington metro area feels kind of the way I feel when it comes to the secret sound. Out of the loop.
Yeah. Oh, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hello.
This is Ashland, Virginia calling.
And that would be Rob and I then would be in the role of the sniper in that case.
Well, or the investigator in the
Chief,
sniper.
Chief Moose.
Chief Moose.
Yeah.
Moose.
Yeah.
Right.
Be Chief Moose.
Giving the cryptic clues.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, all right, so you're calling from the site.
Ashland?
The city.
Well, I live in Richmond, Virginia. Just wanted to call and let you know that I really love your show.
Thanks.
And I want to put all this in perspective. Just live your life, man, and keep going about business.
Well, I kind of agree with you, but it's very hard when it's top of mind, especially today, when all this stuff is happening.
Yes, you're exactly right. But on a higher note, I'm glad y'all are here in town.
Thank you.
Right, nice.
Thank you for calling from Ashland. Excuse me, Ashland. Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike, Keith, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Where's your crap detector now?
Again, not the real guy.
And then there are people that just have their agenda no matter what.
Yeah, forging ahead.
The sniper doesn't take out those people.
Yeah, really? I mean, people that just don't care.
You know, it seems to me the sniper, everybody he's taken out has been a decent, upstanding citizen. How come you never hear victim number 12 was the guy who continually called the Don and Mike show and just went, today is Monday, the day after Sunday.
Yeah, I think there, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I think it does lend credence to the fact that perhaps God wants the good people with him.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
You and I will live forever.
I believe so.
Hello.
You're both.
How you doing?
Hello.
I'm here.
So are we.
Okay. Listen, we got something serious developing here. Maybe you can start something on it. If they don't do something before Election Day, that thing's going to be wrecked. Election Day's going to be wrecked.
Why? Oh, because people will be afraid to vote?
Yeah.
Well, nobody votes anyway.
I know.
All right, thank you.
I guess the Republicans are going to be back in, thanks.
Okay. You know, I think...
Thank you. Bill O'Reilly, check it in.
You know,
thank you, Bill.
I think that's the last thing people are worried about.
Always great to hear from you. Okay.
Love the show, Bill.
Listen, we sure do have a lot of stuff to talk to that's non-sniper related, including my personal contact for most of yesterday with Buzz and Marcia Burbank.
Ah, yes, a little socializing.
They came over some recreation and some unique insights I do have into my my longtime friends, Buzz and Marcia.
Speaking of angel dust.
Yeah.
However, there's a hint.
Now, there was no angel dust yesterday in using my house.
Right.
Just a lot of that auto-erotic
asphyxiation.
Right. Buzz came over with his plastic bags and said, let's play a game.
Come on. Frida and Marcia with video cameras and you and Buzz hanging from the door jam with neckties.
Fully aroused.
Oh, sure. Like Bob Crane.
Phone number 877-365-3636.
Come in.
The secret sound is now down to, get this, $250.
Right. Wow.
Which means that today's clue will be another gigantic, sure for you to solve this case clue.
Very exciting.
Lay it on you. If you're the 100th caller right now, dial recklessly, please, you animals, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
The Don and Mike Show. When you hear the dull creak of the casket, you know it's time for the Don and Mike Show.
A big week we have this week on the show. The good people of Veramax have given us another vacation to Las Vegas we'll give away this week.
Wow. Fantastic.
We got some guests coming up this week. TV guys, some guys written a book about TV. We're having him on because he's a supplied soundbite, what he considers to be the greatest TV shows of all time.
Oh, that's always subjective. I can't wait.
Also, this week, the woman who's never shaved herself, her arms, her legs, her vaginal area.
She's beautiful.
And her website is www.modelwife.com. Also, this week on the show, the Bad Breath Doctor.
Ah, good.
The Bikini Karate Babe.
Very good.
Coming live in studio to show us how they're posing for some crazy new video game.
Hey. Maybe we can have, like, fights with them.
And Thursday, it's National Bologna Day.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh, I love bologna.
And we're going to have a contest on Thursday. How much bologna can you hold in your underpants?
Now, what, briefs? Well, it would have to be briefs.
It is briefs.
Now, will you accept panties for the girls?
Yes, and topless. For male and female.
I think we should have two. We have to have a male winner and a female winner because panties, of course, smaller than briefs.
We only got one prize.
Oh, really?
Only one prize.
I'll put up my own $20, Don.
More than $20 the prize money.
Oh, okay.
But it, well, we'll figure our way around it. All I know is
some panties can be quite large.
Yeah, you can get like the them grandma type. The
harder parters.
Right.
On the way up to the breast line. Thursday is National Bologna Day. We saw that on the DJ calendar.
Very good.
And so we'll be playing how much bologna can you get in your underpants this week on the show.
Yeah, very exciting.
The dogs were jam-packed this week. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, is the secret sound?
Yes, yeah, if you are the 100th caller, good for you. What is your name?
Ruthann.
And where are you from, Ruthann?
I'm calling from Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania.
Well, here you go, Ruthann. You won the DVD of Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst. Please, somebody got to swipe me one of these.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get this baby home. That's from Blockbuster.
Ruthann.
What?
Ruthann. I don't know. I just had to say it like that. I don't know why.
Blockbuster Video is released on November 1st, but you have won your DVD copy now.
My name is Ruthann.
That is from Blockbuster. Now you'll play for the Secret Sound.
It was Edith Ann. That was the great
right.
Lily Tomlin character. Anytime I hear a name with two names that ends in Ann, I always have to do that.
Raggedy Ann.
Edith Ann.
Well, I can't play the name game. I'm in the middle of the secret.
I'm sorry, yes, and I've got my own thing to offer you today, so I have to concentrate, too.
Here we go. What do you mean?
But you'll hear.
Oh, the musical style.
Yes.
It's a common everyday sound, and I'm going to give you a hell of a clue.
Good.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The clue is halitosis.
Okay.
Now, Rob, that is a good clue.
Oh, I know what
it's
it
too
is.
Too good.
That is a hell of a clue.
That's too good.
Mm-hmm.
Identify this simple sound and win 250 bones. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
311.
Hey! 311. I'm surprised you know who they are.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. That's the sound. And your dead giveaway clue today. No pun intended. Sniper and everything. Halitosis. We just might have us a big wiener.
Whoa! Amber is the color of your energy.
Yeah. That's what we've been craving, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's what we've been craving.
Thank you, Lisa.
The sound stylings of 311.
That was terrific.
All right, for $250, what is that sound?
Is it the lid of a Tic Tac box?
No, it is not.
We're sorry.
Nope.
That was my guess after your clue. That's what I thought it was.
Nope, it is not. That was guessed last week on the show.
It was?
I must have missed it.
Well, I did too, ma'am, so it's okay.
Buzz, put that down.
You got it.
Buzz has guessed.
Wow.
Buzz hasn't. He wrote it on his index card.
You know, I thought about it sooner, and I wish I'd, you know, mentioned it to you sooner, but...
Welcome to the club, Buzz.
Very good. Thank you.
Every guess is a clue. For you. Now Mike is mad.
Sorry, I didn't.
Because he's the only one who doesn't know.
Welcome to the club, bud.
Didn't do it for that. All right. I don't know. Now I thought I was really, really sure it was that Tic Tac box, and then I find
negative.
Out somebody else guessed that.
So this weekend, boy, did I have some stuff this weekend. Went to a wedding on Saturday, lovely outdoor wedding with my niece Courtney, Frida's niece, but, you know, my niece too, since we've been married so long. Courtney got married, and it was a lovely outdoor ceremony.
Oh, like Broadway Danny Rose.
And the only thing that made me worry, and it didn't make anybody else worry, but made me worry was, and you know, God forbid, I wish them nothing bad. I wish them a lifetime of happiness and everything that being married is good. I wish that for them. However, I got to think it's a sign when the preacher's 45 minutes late.
Oh,
that's
not good at all.
When the guy performing the ceremony and is 45 minutes late, and I had heard that the night before he just skipped out on the rehearsal dinner.
Wow. What's the deal with this guy?
I don't know. He seemed competent enough when he arrived.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
All I know is that the wedding was supposed to start at 5. We arrived way early. We were milling around. Frida's whole family's there. The groom's whole family is there.
When he was 45 minutes late, did anybody in the wedding party look at him and go, "You dick"?
No, but a lot of the... I felt bad for the bridesmaids that for one time, the bridesmaids... I don't go to a lot of weddings, but generally they dress the bridesmaids in really awful dresses.
Yes, yeah, that, horrible colors.
That they'll never wear again.
Right.
The bridesmaids had real nice dresses that, because the back of them was so low, required no brassiere to be worn.
Well, we noticed that, did we?
And it was it was slightly overcast.
Right.
Temperature approximately 61. And a very stiff breeze blowing.
Oh, baby.
The wedding was held at a marina with boats and the right. water all around.
Yeah.
And as the time went on, the girls, the bridesmaids got colder and colder.
Oh,
baby. Yeah. And everybody was cool with it. Nobody liked it when I said...
Did you offer your jacket?
No, of course not. I was enjoying the show. Nobody liked it when I brought up the fact that it might be a bad omen that the guy was a half hour late and then was 45 minutes late.
You didn't choose to keep that thought to yourself?
No. And you know me with my loud voice.
This is a bad omen for the bride and groom.
We were saying, I was, of course, I'm right in the front row.
This marriage won't last since the reverend's late.
I'm sitting right in the front row. And all they had was a guy with a flute and a guy with a guitar. And they were playing very lightly. And everybody was speaking very softly. And I realized as soon as I said, this is a bad omen.
So then what will be this wedding? When the preacher's hours late.
And I knew, I felt every hand in the room did a swivel and looked right at me.
Yeah. That's such a drag, though, to be like almost an hour late for the service. Because, I mean, weddings are all about everybody just wanting to get the service over so that they can have the, you know, reception.
Right. But I will say this for the groom, that he didn't know how to handle the situation. When it got to be 5:30 and the priest still wasn't there, you know me, ADD, I said, well, I can't just sit here. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to walk and go back there where everybody is and wait to hang around with the groom and his friends and wait for the reverend to show up.
Was it a Catholic priest?
Yeah. And
now I know what it was like.
And when I got back there, the groom was power drinking a beer.
Attaboy.
And you know, I said,
attaboy.
I said, good for you. I did the. I did the exact same thing. And the guy who married me was not even late.
I did it twice.
He was absolutely.
I did both my marriages. I drank beer before the service. Maybe I shouldn't next time.
I like that. So it was a really nice ceremony, and as it turns out, we lucked out when we left.
Did the priest apologize when he arrived?
No apology.
That's a good Catholic priest.
No apology.
Make them feel guilty.
Yeah. No apology.
That's right.
He had came with his sponge. What do you call it? Is it SpongeBob? Is that what it is?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, he had those little stickers all over him. So, who knows where he was? Yeah. Who knows?
Was there alcohol in his breath?
Yes, he smelled of beer and he had.
I apologize to all the people here that were so patient to wait for me. I lost my way going to the marina and I stopped by a daycare center.
And he had a Blues Clues sweatshirt on.
I asked this lovely young man who was riding his bicycle in the neighborhood, and he was just so wonderful. I asked him if he could hop in my car and guide me as to where the service was.
No, he was all right. The service was lovely, and I wish them the best of luck. And then Sunday, mm-hmm. we had the Burbanks come over to watch football with us.
How about that? The Burbanks are coming for dinner.
And it was a very boring game. The Redskins got killed by the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I've got the dish, so we were going from game to game to game. We're watching the Eagles game. Well, everybody in Philly was right. The Eagles.
My Eagles won.
They killed Tampa Bay.
Yes, they did.
And as we were watching the game, actually, Buzz is less of a football fan, at least yesterday, than his wife was, because when the Redskins-Packers game was over,
right,
I flipped over to the Arizona-Dallas game, which had gone into overtime, mm-hmm. and Buzz was getting ready to pack his belongings and get the hell out, and his wife said, no, we can't go anywhere, the game's not over.
There you go.
There still is another game on, and right she was.
Right.
That's proper etiquette when you invite someone for a football game. You watch all the games till they're all over.
I didn't know that. I thought it was game singular, and I thought at the end of the Redskins game, that was my cue. I didn't want to overstay my welcome.
No, you weren't. You and Marsha never overstay your welcome.
You mean to tell me that if you invite somebody over to watch the game, you're talking about a 1 o'clock till 7. You're talking about a 7-hour commitment.
It was a
4 o'clock game.
It was a 4 o'clock game.
Oh, it was a 4 o'clock game.
Right. It was a 4 o'clock game.
Oh, so you watched the end of all the 4 o'clock games.
Right.
Oh, that's no problem.
Now, I will tell you this, that there was
liquor flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Some
wine.
I did not imbibe. I had, I think, maybe one of them lemonades, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
There was lots of wine being had by Buzz and Marcia and Frida, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to call my wife out on a couple of things that she said while the game was getting out of control. As the Packers continued to roll up points, and as we flipped from game to game, and it was apparent the Eagles were going to win, and then it got to be halftime, somehow, I don't know how it is, we got on the discussion topic of retards.
The conversation starter, I think, by your wife.
And my wife made a statement that I wanted to call her on yesterday, and I told her I was going to call her on it today, that she said retards are happy, mm-hmm. and that the blanket statement was that she would rather have, and I'm sure my son will feel great about this, she would rather have a retarded kid who is happy because, you know, because he doesn't know any better.
Right, he's happy.
Than a regular kid who's screwed up with all the problems that a regular kid has.
So she said a choice between a retarded child who's very happy or a genius who's very unhappy. She said if you had to choose, this was her conversation starter, if you had to choose between the unhappy genius and the happy retarded child, which would you choose?
Well, that means she'd be, if she had that situation, she'd be a loving mother to both kids, I suppose.
Right, of course.
But I would venture to say she'd killed at least a bottle before that was
done. Yeah, because that was on the heels of, if you could have any car, what would it be? And like everybody, myself, Buzz, Marshall, we all stopped, we looked at her. This is out of the left field.
Right.
What? If you could have any car, what would it be? So she goes to Buzz, and Buzz said, like, I guess a Lamborghini, I think, was your
any car, if we're just going to go crazy.
Well,
sure.
How did you answer that question?
I didn't answer.
Really? If you could pick any car you wanted, what would it be?
See, that's like one of the stupid things my wife does.
I like it. I'm into it. If you're into cars,
sure.
You're not that into cars, though. Even though you know what you like, but you're not.
No.
I mean, you kind of buy cars like you'd buy a jacket. You just go in and pick something out.
Oh,
if you like it, it's a bonus, but it's not a big deal if you don't.
And speaking of, let me just break topic here for a second. I have to tell you, and you can use this in a commercial if you want, Men's Warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something about this store, being a man myself.
I hope it's good.
Yeah, it's very positive.
I like that place.
My kid needed, for this wedding we went to on Friday, my kid needed a jacket, and I needed a new tie and a shirt, and it is a pleasure, an absolute pleasure as a man, because we all know how men shop,
mm-hmm.
to go into an establishment, say to the guy, he says, hi, can I help you? I said, yes. This is my son. I'd like him to get a nice brown sport coat. He's going to be wearing khaki pants, like a nice brown sport coat, and maybe like a mock turtleneck for underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm looking at a shirt and tie combination that goes with a charcoal jacket.
There you go.
Right.
I mean, 3 seconds later.
Oh, they're the greatest.
The guy comes over. He takes the jacket right off the rack, puts it on my kid. Fits perfect. I go, we'll take it. Gets the shirt for my kid, lines it up with the jacket. I go, great, we'll take it. And before I know it, the guy's got like 5 combinations in front of me.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Shirts and ties all laid out.
Yep.
I mean, total time spent shopping in this store, less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds like this.
And that is a compliment.
Yeah. People would construe this as like a fake thing, but we're telling the truth here.
No,
we've both been there,
yeah,
and that place,
amazing.
The customer service, man, they really do. And if you need something like done, I swear to God, they really do. This sounds so phony.
I am so glad,
it sounds
though,
like a commercial.
I am so glad, though, not to go into one of these places and have to do the phony bull ass,
yeah,
and small talk,
right,
and having them trying to push stuff on you that you don't want. All I said was, the kid needs a jacket, I like him with a mock turtleneck, I need a shirt and a tie, and boom, that's it. We were in, we were out. Nice job.
I got a pair of pants one time at the place. Now, this was maybe up in New York, maybe it's because it was in New York, but they did a pair of pants. They did the
cuffs?
Yeah, you know, where they shorten
them? Hem them.
They did the hemming. in. They said go walk around for a half an hour. Come back in about half an hour. And they had it done.
Right,
amazing. I mean, pretty awesome. You don't get that at many places.
They do the really cool thing where they lay the shirts out and they whip out the tie and they do like some sort of magic fold and all of a sudden it looks tied.
Yes,
and they lay it right on the shirt. It's so cool.
And what I loved about it was that it really we were in the store 5 minutes.
That's great.
So we got everything that we needed, and it was so different than going like to Macy's or Bloomingdale's or one of those stores or
you know this is not phony, but you know in the building right now there's some account executive that right now has just soiled his or her pants.
Mm-hmm. Send me a gift certificate because I'll use it. I was fantastically happy because I hate the exercise of going shopping. I hate going into the store, and here's what you get. You either get someone who's super into the over-service thing, or you get the disinterested person who acts like you're doing them a favor by coming in to buy something where you really have to, like, ask for their attention to help you get something. No, I mean, it was boom, 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 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely 5 minutes. Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
So now, as far as my wife and retards... this is one of the things that she's bringing up as the wine is flowing.
Okay.
She's bringing up first, if you could drive any car, what kind of car would you drive? So we go around the room with this. Then she starts on this thing with, if you could have a genius kid or a retarded kid, mm-hmm. which would you have?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we go around the room with this. And it's just maddening because all I want to do is watch the game
right,
and have some nice conversation. And my wife wants to have serious conversations about this. And then, we get into the whole tard thing about, but the kid's tard. But she's no, but the kid would be happy.
Right.
And I said, well, but you could have a kid that could grow up to be Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but Bill Gates might be very unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just another one of those maddening Frida things that she does. When people come over, she
likes to get to the chewy, center.
She can't just make conversation like, boy, aren't the leaves nice outside, or say, what about that sniper? What do you think about that sniper? No, it's got to be first, what car? Then it was the retard thing. Then it was Buzz's belly button.
Oh, yeah.
We are we're sitting in the cave watching the end of the Dallas-Arizona game. And she mentions to Buzz, she says, how is your abdominal area since you had all the surgery?
Right.
And Buzz says, it's really great.
Yeah, it is.
And Frida says, I don't even know how we got on the topic of your belly button.
I think I said I don't have one.
And, well, that started her going where she's at first she wanted Buzz to take his shirt off. And I didn't want to.
Oh, there's the rub.
I didn't want.
Well, isn't that really what the whole afternoon was about anyway?
I didn't want to see this. And I know Buzz didn't want to take his shirt off.
No.
And then my wife started a whole other topic about how if she saw a man with no belly button, she would find distress in that somehow. And I said, I guarantee you could go to a beach or go to a swimming pool, and you would never even notice that a guy has a belly button or doesn't have a belly button.
Speak for yourself.
And then the discussion was where a man's belly button actually is located.
Above, below, or under the belt line.
And at one point then, we're watching some commercial on TV that has John Elway. And because we're watching with the TiVo, I actually paused it for a second. And I said, look, now, there's John Elway. He used to be a football player. Look where his belt line is.
Mm-hmm.
His belt line is right at his belly button, but she wouldn't give it up. She was arguing.
What was her point? Whether or not she'd be able to see at the beach whether a guy had a belly button or not.
Because if a guy had a bathing suit or not, what she was saying is most guys pull their bathing suits up over their belly buttons. And I said, negative, that mine kind of rides right on my belly button, like half in and half out.
Mine rides right directly on my belly button until I take about 4 steps. Right, and then the belt line goes way below the belly button.
I think at or just below.
I think most men would tell you that ideally, like if they're wearing a suit or something like that, it's at or maybe even a little above. And then once you get out there dancing to Kool and the Gang Celebration, that sometimes that belly button can be a good 15 inches above where your belt line is.
All I know is that it was vintage Frida. That we had simply invited Buzz and Marsha over for a day to watch football.
It really annoyed you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. She can't just enjoy somebody's company.
Right.
She has to overcompensate with the questions.
See, it didn't bother me as much as I think it bothered you, because I saw it as kind of a, like you said, she likes to turn conversation into a game, sort of. It's like you go round robin and you find out people's opinions on things.
And then what are you doing, Mike?
He's pulling up.
Putting my belt where it's supposed to be.
And where is that?
Right on top of my belly button. Like right there. You could look at my belt right now and you wouldn't be able to see it because the belt line is right on the belly button.
Your wife seemed to enjoy it. Your wife liked all of the conversations, all of the various witticisms my wife was tossing out there.
Well, they're both women.
And I heard that...
Hello.
Were you holding your breath in?
Just having a little trouble getting the air right now.
Let it out, Mike.
Okay, there we
Let
go.
Let it go. Boy. Hi, baby.
Hello.
Hi.
You know, it's no wonder I'm starved for company when people come over, that I pepper them with questions, as you said, and bring up topics of conversation that are irrelevant or silly, because you don't talk to me.
What do you mean?
You don't have these kind of conversations. You're goddamn right, I don't.
Who wants to have a conversation about which would you rather have, a genius kid who was unhappy or a retarded kid who was happy?
Well,
what is the point of that?
What's the point of watching football? It's not a point. It's
TFC.
For entertainment.
It's TFC.
Which is?
To facilitate conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but there was plenty of conversation going on.
Well, I can't get into the football conversation.
Oh, well, here's the other thing she says. Oh, Buzz, it's 4:15. I've been told to ask you if Moose is on TV.
Generally, they run about 5 minutes behind. We're expecting a briefing at 4:15. But
you're monitoring that right
now. Yeah, I'm watching
it
now.
Let us know when it starts.
Absolutely, they're usually about 5 minutes late. I'll keep you posted.
We'll break in as soon as it happens.
And I thought even that the car question was a unisex question. I could have talked decorating or girl stuff with Marsha. But
what was your car, Frida? What was your dream car?
I don't think we ever got to that, Mike.
I thought maybe the first car I ever had, which was a 66 Ford Falcon, if I could have that old car restored from, you know, my childhood.
Because, you see, when you come over to my house to socialize, you can't just have regular conversations where maybe you have, every once in a while, you know, peaks and valleys, where you have a natural lapse where maybe, for God forbid, 5 to 10 seconds, nobody's saying anything.
It's kind of like a word game.
Or you don't talk about football and or radio for 5 minutes, and then the world falls apart.
Well, now, I wasn't talking specifically about radio or football. I know that we talked about an awful lot of stuff that had to do with neither, but...
Like what? Name a conversation you initiated.
A conversation I can't think of one right now. Food.
Right.
The food.
Mm-hmm. The food.
The food. The fact that the food was very good.
The food. And I can tell you another one. The food. The TiVo.
Oh, yeah.
And radio.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I would rather talk about that. I say bravo to you, sir. Bravo for talking about that than talking about... I mean, I can't tell you how long this discussion about the retarded kid and the genius kid was bounced around the room.
That shows it was a good topic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a ridiculous topic, honey.
Huh?
I would say it would be a topic that would cause a spirited discussion, because I mean you could really call people on whether they were being honest about the way they would feel. You know, you could challenge people on you say that, but in practicality would you do that?
But here's the deal. That's not the type of discussion that I want to have when people are over watching a football game.
Really?
It is a different... Yeah.
Well, you know what, darling? Here's something called compromise, because I didn't even want to watch the football game.
Ah, bingo. Now, that brings me to my next point, Your Honor. At one point, Marcia is discussing the HBO show Hard Knocks, and she's telling me how she watched Hard Knocks...
Right.
And she really enjoyed it, and she learned about the Dallas Cowboys, and she was curious to watch the end of the Cowboys game since she had grown to know the players on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it's almost like a real TV show, right?
Well, my wife, who was sitting very obediently, right at my side.
At your feet.
Turned to me and...
I was sitting by your feet.
She turned to me and she said...
Because you had to go in the room where there's not enough chairs, so I sat by your feet.
I had to go in the room where there was a chair with a hard back because I was hit by a car 3 weeks ago today. And the couch downstairs is not good for my back.
Too mushy.
But that's neither here nor there.
Me.
What?
Nothing.
What was that?
Nothing. The conversation, would you rather have a retarded husband that's happy? or a genius that's miserable most of the time?
And I am not miserable most of the time. Don't you dare say
but
that. But
you are a genius.
I am not miserable most of the time.
Only when I'm there.
When's the last time?
What a coincidence.
You are wound up. Normally, when I offer that genius compliment, I at least get a thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome, Doc.
Thank you, but I'm trying to, I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget my point.
You have your eyes on the prize.
That she says right here, she says she doesn't like watching football, which is why she had to bring up all of this stuff, like what type of car do you like?
Right.
Would you like a retarded kid or a genius kid?
Is this
kid?
During the football game?
Yes.
Well, that's the problem.
Now, Marcia is saying, well, I enjoyed watching the Hard Knocks show. Mm-hmm. And my wife then looks at me and says, you never asked me to watch Hard Knocks with you.
I didn't even know what the Hard Knocks show was.
And I said, I know I've told you about the show. I told you when the guy crapped in his pants.
No.
I know that you've walked in the room when I've been watching it.
It's all football if I walk in the room and you're watching football.
But, baby, here's the point, though. Even if I asked you to sit down and watch Hard Knocks with me, you wouldn't have watched it because you don't like football, as you just said a moment ago.
Marcia said she didn't like football until she watched this show.
So you mean if I was to ask you to watch Hard Knocks, you would have watched it?
No.
Okay.
I don't mean that.
It's a trick question.
It was just a conversation.
Yeah,
see, that's the whole point. What was the point? There was no point. It was just a conversation.
Just conversation. Yeah. And what I don't get is, when you're watching Buzz, you got something for us there?
Yeah, Chief Moose is speaking now. If you'd like to hear.
Yeah, hold on, baby. We're gonna go to the Moose Man.
Okay.
Hold on.
Put it up right here.
Where's the Moose Man?
The work done by the Division of Police.
Lisa gave a statement already.
Is work done by that agency, and you need to contact them. They will answer any questions about that work.
Are you the person that you're sending a message to right now? Is it the same person you sent the message to 2 nights ago, and then again this morning, or Saturday night, and then this morning, Sunday? You sent three messages now. Is it all to the same person? Are they all to the same person?
Ma'am, again, it would be inappropriate for me to answer any further questions about the communication, even though certainly the effort by the media has been greatly, greatly appreciated.
Is your first contact with that person with whom you're now communicating based on something that he left, that person left behind in the woods behind the steakhouse?
Sir, I have a question, but I tried to be clear that any questions about any communication would be inappropriate to answer.
Is there any concern about crime scene contamination? You have the incidents, you put up tapes, do you find letters?
CSI.
Or whatever. But how do law enforcement officials know that this is something left by any potential suspect? You know, and when you find things and then you communicate with somebody, I mean, something is going on, but are you concerned about the credibility of what you're responding to at this point?
Sir, I feel very confident about the work being done by the men and women in law enforcement.
One of the points of your standing at these briefings is to try to help the public better understand where this investigation stands and where it stands in terms of their public safety. I've had a number of people express to me a concern that since Saturday night, we're in a different phase of this.
Just ask the question.
A greater degree of vulnerability that some people are feeling. Because you're talking to the public in addition to someone else, can you address the public about where we are right now?
All right. You know, Buzz has the statement.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that. We missed that.
What was the statement?
The statement was so brief, the fact that we were just like 3 seconds late means we missed it. That's how brief it was. Another message from the police, this time, and again, aimed at someone who has made contact with the police. Chief Moose says the message is, quote, the person you called could not hear everything you said. The audio was unclear, and we want to get it right. He said the person should call us back so we can clearly understand.
That's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
All right.
And now he's answering questions.
Right.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Are you there, baby?
I was watching it.
Impossible to follow that.
Yes. Is he still answering questions?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's not going to answer.
No. The thing about it being unclear, and we want to get it right. He's saying that again. Call us back.
Yeah, he's repeating.
The whole point of these press conferences now are to talk to the person and not to us.
That's so. Why I'm offering weird. The show. That's why I'm offering the show. Call the show. Cut through the middleman. Just cut through the middleman. You'll be able to get right through.
So,
don't let anybody call this show.
They made contact and they couldn't hear him.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Pretty that good. That could mean any number of things.
I know.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
God, I'm getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, call us back. We couldn't hear you.
Well, what I want to know is one of the reporter's questions, the one that we didn't really hear the answer to because there was no answer, was since Saturday there's a greater concern about safety. What is what the. That we're in a new phase. What this reporter was saying, well, I haven't heard that. Well, what is he talking about? I mean, I thought it was the same degree of safety that we've been in.
I agree. I don't know, honey.
Right. You know what?
I just
hope that all the information's being withheld. I hope there's a good reason for that.
I hope someone just doesn't ask Chief Moose if he could have any car. What type of car would he like? And Chief Moose, where's your belly button? Above or below your belt line.
There you go.
When this
Chief
is
Moose.
All over and he's relaxing with friends,
Chief
he's
Moose.
Enjoying a good time.
Don Geronimo from CBS. If you have the choice of a genius child who was unhappy or a retarded child who was very happy, which would it be, please?
And it seems to me like the folks enjoyed the questions. Even though...
Honey, I'm busting your balls. I'm busting your balls.
I always do, and I don't... You know, another thing I didn't appreciate, and this is serious...
Okay, serious.
Serious. I don't appreciate, you know, when I bring up the fact that I'm going to New York and I'm excited about seeing that guy, John Edwards...
The carny?
Yeah, I don't denigrate things that you are looking forward to.
Listen,
just to
my wife,
deepen the joy out of your life.
My wife and her mother and her sister and her other sister...
Are you hearing me? Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
You hear what I just said, what I don't like?
That I call him a carny.
That you siphon the joy out of something I'm looking forward to?
How does that siphon the joy out of it if
because
I just...
You denigrate something that... I mean, you could just... Here's a novel idea. You could just keep mom. If you don't think that he has any... think he's full of it, then that's fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, step right up. Here he is, John Edward. Mr. Edward, my dead mother on the phone. Now, how does that hurt your feelings?
Because I'm telling you something, and you're ignoring it.
Honey, Jesus, how thin-skinned... I mean, I know you call me thin-skinned. It bothers you when I call this...
If I made some joking remark about something that you were doing, and you said, hey, you know, I don't like that, I'd cut it out.
Honey, some carny with a TV show.
I would cut it out. I wouldn't matter if I thought it was, you know, justified or not. I would just cut it out.
But see, the reason that I can't cut it out is that I'm amazed at where you decide. Sometimes
it's not that I care about John Edward
or
not.
You're a mystery.
I care about that you don't listen to what I'm saying. Just don't,
that's all I do is listen to what you have to say.
If you bought a new car and you were excited about it, I wouldn't call it a hunk of junk if displease you.
But I can't. I can't help but comment.
Even if the car was not your ultimate dream car, but particularly
guy's a
if it
carny.
Was your ultimate dream car, which we don't even know what is.
Okay, listen. I don't know, and I don't know why you have such a link with this guy. Why you feel so close to this guy? When I, you know, my point is, when I've seen him on TV, he asks very generic questions like, I'm seeing the color blue.
All right, I'm hanging up because you're making me mad. You're making me mad because we've had this discussion. I don't care if you... I don't know if I believe it. I don't care if you do.
But here's the thing. Hold on just a second. I would understand your point of view if I was speaking that way about something you really cared about, something you really loved, something you really felt passionately about. This is just some guy with a TV show.
Yeah, but we're talking about... I think there's a possibility that you can talk to people who are on the other side, and that's important to me.
Well, I think you can, too, but I don't think you can do it on TV 5 days a week.
Well, maybe you don't, but if you can, that's important to me. I'd like to talk to the people that I love that have, you know, died. So don't do that.
Okay.
All right.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
And we didn't like The Sopranos last night either.
No.
What do you think about that?
I fell asleep.
Right, you fell asleep during.
Yeah, that show's going to tweak it up a little bit.
I would tell you what I really got pissed about The Sopranos was that, and last week, and you said it too, honey, during the commercials,
mm-hmm.
when they led you to believe that the Mercedes lady was coming back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a dream.
Such a tease.
A dream sequence.
She really killed herself.
Mm-hmm.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah. Those Sopranos, they're carnies. God damn it, I wish they wouldn't do that to me.
All right, look, I will try just to serve the food and keep Mom next time we have people.
Oh, come on. Come on.
No.
You were fine, Frida.
Come on.
I know I was.
Have some fun.
Thank you. I know I was.
Have some fun. You were a great hostess.
But around my husband, I will try and just bow.
That sounds so effing 50s.
Yeah.
You're a great hostess.
You were a great hostess.
Thank you, Lucy.
You was.
Thank you, June.
You kept the food and the drink coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
All right.
Mindless conversation.
Don't patronize me.
I'm not patronizing you.
All right.
All right. I love you.
Uh-huh. Love you, too.
Okay.
Yep. Bye.
Hey.
What?
Come on. Don't be pissed.
I'm not. I'm
yes,
fine.
You are.
I will bounce back.
Please, don't make this one of those things where I got to call you when we get off
don't
the air and go,
call me.
Are you really mad?
No, don't do that. That's a waste of time, and that's just annoying. Just let it go.
But why this carny thing? Why is this the one that pushes you over the edge?
You just have to repeat, because you're ignoring my feelings, you have to repeat carny thing. Again.
Why do you have such strong feelings for John Edwards?
I think I don't have strong feelings about him. I think, first of all, if it is a trick, I can't see how it's done. He doesn't say generic stuff. And if you had real information, I'd like to hear it. I don't know if it's true or not. It could be ESP. He could be, you know, reading people's thoughts and not talking to the other side. But if there's a possibility, I've got people I want to talk to. And on top of all that, I'm just excited to make a trip with my mother and my sisters. We'll have fun.
Well, of course. And you always make trips with your mother and sister, and you always have fun.
So why you have to belittle something that we...
Honey, I belittled you when you went up to see The View. When it was important to go see The View.
It wasn't important for me to see The View. That was my mom's thing. I was in agreement with you on that.
So it wasn't important to see The View, but it is important to you to see the Seaman.
Of course it's important. We're all, you know, it's hard to arrange everybody's schedule. It's the middle of the week. I've got a class, you know. We're all making a special effort to go because we're all looking forward to it on the chance, small as it is, that we could talk to my brother and my brother-in-law.
All right, well, I tell you what. If you get up there, and you know I truly did and still do love your departed brother Lee. I do love him. It was his daughter that got married. Ask him if he's offended that I called John Edward a carny.
I'm not offended for John Edward. I don't care.
No. Ask your brother. Ask your brother, and I'm sure your brother would say... Honey, if your brother was still alive, it's something...
You know, if you get to the other side, you know, if you really do get through, that's certainly, I'm sure, going to be at the top of the question list.
You know, you wonder why I don't talk to you about certain things. And, I mean, why can't you just be open-minded? Why do you have to belittle different things?
Because it's... Listen, honey, I think if the guy really had a gift like that, he wouldn't be doing a daytime television show.
What would he be doing?
Rob said he'd be in prime time.
He'd be on a prime time.
Yeah.
It would be on script 5 days a week at 10 a.m.
All righty.
All right. There she goes.
Well.
Going to read her mind right now. She is mad.
Hey. You could have your own show.
You already do. There you go.
Crossing over with
all him. Right. Well, really, I was just busting her balls about, like, the belly button and the retarded kid and stuff like that. But this carny thing, wow, she's serious about that.
She seems to be.
Absolutely serious. Don't anybody else see through that guy the way I see through
I've never
guy?
Seen the show. I've never seen what... I know he... I've heard of the guy that communicates with the dead.
Aline Cunningham, are you are you familiar with the routine?
I remember that very, very well, dear.
What are you saying, dear?
I remember the perfume.
Uh-huh. I remember the hair and the headphones.
I'm kidding. We got a break. I know we've...
I remember her as amazing, and I'm not just talking about her psychic ability.
Don and Mike, hello.
Great lady.
Hey, Don.
And I'm just kidding. Hey. My wife was really great yesterday.
Yes, she was.
Hello.
We both were.
Don, out. I'm just wondering, after a conversation like that in my house, I'm looking at least a month before sex. I was just wondering how this blows over, if it's a front or if you're not getting any for a while.
No, it's a front. She's really mad about the carny thing. The other stuff, that doesn't matter.
So you're back in tonight on demand, like the good 50s husband would be?
No, I don't think I'll be there tonight.
The good 50s husband.
I don't think.
You're a wonderful hostess.
I don't think when I come home tonight, you're not going to hear this music playing.
When your husband's football game is on, don't trouble your guests with all sorts of mindless conversation about cars and belly buttons and whether you'd prefer to have a genius who was happy or a retarded child who was unhappy. You just serve the food, and then when the guests leave, take him up to the bedroom and do his brains in.
From your lips to God's ears, Mike.
Another fine hostess party from Kraft.
Not Mike Show. Hello.
Start with baby marshmallows, add salad dressing, just a little brie, and a hint of 3-in-1 oil. Bake in a 350-degree oven. Serve chilled. Another innovative party helper from Kraft.
Hello.
Hi, this is Linda.
Yes, hi, Linda.
You owe Frieda an apology.
Oh, please, why?
Why? I mean, she's the most compassionate, understanding, patient lady. I mean, does she have a choice when you call her?
Does she have a choice? Yes, she can hang up, and she hung up on me.
Linda, Linda, there's no need for this arguing where I could share another recipe for you. Would you like to hear the other recipe?
I would like to. But you have a recipe for Linda?
Start with a baking sheet. Cover it with human waste. Serve chilled with a candle in the middle. Another delicious fecal treat from Kraft.
Thank you, honey.
Listen,
my wife lives like a princess. Shed no crocodile tears for her.
I know, but she's so patient, and sometimes it seems like you guys are a little belittling to her.
Start with Kraft baby caramels, add a steak, and 3 fingers of vinegar.
I've never heard when she's called me a dick.
Well deserved.
Oh, so it's well deserved when I call her a dick, but when I make fun of her liking the carny guy, then I'm out of line.
Well.
You know what? You're all the same. You're all the same.
Keep a piece of Kraft cheddar cheese stuck between 2 pillows all day long. That's right. When it's seasoned, add salt and pepper, Kraft blue cheese dressing, and serve hot. Another delicious hors d'oeuvre from Kraft.
And you couldn't live without us.
Oh, F you. You don't even want to have any fun.
I couldn't. No. You're right. No, I couldn't.
God, lady. Everybody lighten up.
I couldn't live without her, but you I could live without.
Oh, definitely.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Serve.
No, thank you.
Here's Rob's.
Serve Velveeta M. Veal in a work boot.
So anyway, that's my weekend. Listen, new feature on the show.
Yes?
The Rob Spiewak mailbag.
Oh, wow. Is Rob getting some hate mail?
No, some love mail.
Some love mail.
Some love mail.
From hateful people.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, it's a funny kind of a thing, but, you know, I feel better after I got all that off my chest. I feel like I'm like a load. A load is off my shoulders. You're good. Doc, thank you.
Mr. Beattie, I didn't do anything.
Oh, you did something.
No, I did nothing.
You did something?
I didn't.
The load? Gone. Where is it? Don't know. You're good. Nah. You're good, Doc. You're good. I'm going to be getting in touch with you.
Don't, please.
Oh, just one more thing. If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kill you. You understand?
Could we define fag? Because some feelings may come up.
I go fag, you die. Got it?
Die.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You're good, Doc. You're good.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Not me.
It's time to roll back the stone and let the comedy rise again. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Wonder who that could have been.
Consider it.
Someone from the other side, Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jay. I'm from Sacramento. I want to talk about the belly button thing.
Well, talk to Buzz. Buzz doesn't have one.
I used to have one.
No, like, you know, it, when you wear your pants, like you were talking about above or on your belly button.
Yeah.
See, I could see, like, if you have a smaller torso, you probably wear it below your belly button. But if you have a really long torso, you probably wear it, you know, like on your belly button.
Both Mike and Rob are viciously doing the Sacramento dance right now for you, sir.
Why are you guys doing the dance for me? I'm not an idiot.
I know you can't see it, but
it's actually a very good call.
They're doing it, and
they're not even pointing at their belly buttons.
Mike's is rather sexual. Rob. And what involves his nose and his armpit.
Oh, man.
That's a new step.
Mike involves his breast.
A bold new step.
Don and Mike, hello.
Don.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Okay.
I just wanted to ask you, if you were home on Sunday with your wife and friends watching the football, would you rather be blind or deaf?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Deaf.
No.
No, you'd want to see the football game.
No. I'd rather be deaf.
Right.
I would rather be deaf. If given the choice of blind, I'd rather be deaf.
So if you had the choice of losing your hearing or losing your sight?
I'd lose the hearing anytime. I'd rather see.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'd rather lose my hearing.
Oh, I'd absolutely lose my sight.
Really?
Yeah.
See, but right now at home, Frida, damn you, sir. Right now, Frida is saying, you're doing exactly what I did yesterday.
He's writing that down.
Really,
you'd rather lose your sight than your hearing?
You bet.
You'd rather... Well, you just contradicted yourself.
No.
You just said you'd rather lose your...
I thought he was in our camp. No, you would rather be...
I'd rather lose my sight in a second.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, no, I want to have my vision. Yeah, I'd like to see what's going on.
Now you got
to
see.
What, and never hear this show again?
Not in my show.
Translator.
Hey, Don, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey, can I play a sound for you?
Sure.
Listen. Do you hear it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Your mom taking her dentures out before she's about to give me a whirl?
Is that your skull?
So wasted. Well, we just got some guy want to do his own secret sound.
He wants me to turn about his fair play, and I think that's it. Yeah.
And frankly, I don't have no part of it.
Good for you, Don.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
I said good day.
Buzz, you wouldn't be so enthusiastic about this if you were still sitting on the outside.
Hello, Don and Mike.
This is Gene Woods speaking for Password Plus, a Mark Goodson, Bill Todman production.
Television production.
All right, goodbye. Goodbye.
Read it right.
Okay, whatever. Rob Spiewak, mailbag.
Yeah.
Mail. A couple of things you should know about this show, and I'll use my call with Frida there as one example, that... in real life, I don't argue with Frida all the time. I tweak it up for the radio so that you guys can enjoy. In real life, Buzz is not a pothead. In real life, Mike is not a fall-down drunk. And also in real life, Rob really is not a hateful person.
Right.
Rob is actually a very loving person.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, if we all acted on the show...
He had this beatific look on his face when you were saying that made me laugh.
If we all acted the way in real life that we really are, it would be quite a boring radio show.
Right. Exactly.
Now, there are some people who have a hard time discerning, and especially with Rob, this is where we have the biggest problem.
They have no seal tail. They have no cat feet.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Except for Joe. Joe is exactly as we portrayed him. Joe is a dope. But everybody else, you got to understand there's some creative license there.
Yeah, and you too are often, Rob will often poke fun at things hateful. And it's really an indictment of that. I'm not doing this. Good for you.
There are some people,
thank
though.
You, bud.
Some people who just don't get it.
Right.
Rob, why don't you call and see if he's available right now before I read the Rob Spiewak fan letter
of
the week.
Is this somebody that believes Rob is the way we portray him?
Oh, yes.
And that he loves Germany and...
Just wait. I'm going to wait until we get the guy on the phone.
That he really is a bigot when he's really not. There are people out there like that who've latched on to that.
Yeah, and that seems to be the biggest group right there. You know,
they're the scary people as far as I'm concerned.
You know, occasionally somebody will say to me, you know, God, Jesus, you're such an ass, I could never be married to you. You know, I'd say, well, that's an act on the radio.
Right.
Sometimes people say to Mike, do you really drink as much as they say? Are you an alcoholic?
Then I say yes.
Well, no, come on. Or Buzz, you know, the pot thing, and Buzz says it's a joke on the show.
Give me sober as a judge.
But with...
the next week, you'll be on the air, okay?
I don't drink on Mondays.
Here we go.
Again, good for you, Mike.
Thank you. The letter started with a cover letter to Joe Ardinger. God damn you, Joe. Give out the right address, put that joint down, or pass it to Buzz.
Uh-huh. So this is somebody that believes everything on the show.
Yeah.
Well, that was because the first time he tried to send it, it got returned to sender.
Okay.
So that was why I had the cover letter.
Address unknown.
Here is the letter. Dear Rob, I hope you enjoy the little gift I'm sending you. Actually, I'm trading you what I'm sending for an autographed picture of all of you pricks I'm so fond of and listen to every day. I know you think you are a Nazi. And incidentally, I got to point out the spelling on this. He spells Nazi N-A-T-Z-I.
Ah, we got a real brain trust here.
Think you are a Nazi.
No, he doesn't think
he's a Nazi. But please do not forge the signatures. The stamp, and here now is the article that the fellow sent to Rob. You can see his... it's German postage.
Yeah, that would be a pre-1945 piece of a German stamp, I guess.
Wow. That's a swastika.
Oh, now, you get the scary people.
The stamp, according to my uncle, was taken off an SS officer who was riding in the sidecar of a motorcycle when he shot him and the driver of the bike.
Well, that's a good thing,
yeah.
He also grabbed the SS helmet of the driver. It's awesome. Spelled A-W-E-S-O-M. There's no E. It still has stained blood on it.
Well, I mean, I think being a child of the World War II...
Thanks for the trade, Rob.
Yeah.
And then he draws the little swastika.
Yeah.
And this comes from...
Well, see, there's not a lot to indict in there. I was getting nervous when I saw it.
Oh, no, Mike. No, come on.
Well, the fact that it was taken off, you know, a military souvenir is one thing, you know.
Now, I believe you're giving the man way too much credit.
Well, you know me. I often want to do that.
Let's welcome him up. Oh, yes, and Rob, if you get a chance, call me, and we'll talk about an SS helmet you might treasure.
Well, we need to interview this.
Yeah, here he is.
Okay.
Hi, Chuck.
Chuck Weller. Chuck.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Rob's here, and Rob has received your wonderful gift, the Nazi stamp. And I see here that you write that you also have an SS helmet that still has stained blood in it.
Oh, isn't that great?
Uh-huh. You know, when you spell Nazi, incidentally, the T is silent and there is no T in Nazi.
Well, give me a break. I didn't have spell check.
Well, no, it's handwritten.
What's that?
It's handwritten, and awesome is with an E.
Okay.
A-W-E-S-O-M-E.
You're just giving me crap because I'm in the Sacramento area.
No, sir.
Oh, you're from Sacramento.
Although, no surprise, you're from Sacramento. And also, not to bust your balls. But
well, you sure are.
The swastika that you drew on your letter here, it's backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You drew it backwards.
Hey, Chuck, do you collect that stuff?
No, not at all.
Okay.
And then why would you want to send it to Rob?
Well, because I don't collect it, but I know... Rob thinks he's a Nazi, so he's always talking.
There you go. Now,
and there is the Sacramento interpretation of
there you go.
There you go.
Right, there you go. Now I'm going to try to walk you through this one time.
Walk me through it, Don.
Okay, I'm going to walk you through this. Rob isn't a Nazi.
No.
No, and Rob really isn't the hateful hump that we... kid about
portray him as
on the show.
Yeah, Rob is actually part Jewish, Chuck.
Well, amen.
And Chuck, why would that? The fact that Rob is part Jewish, what would that tell you?
Well, that would tell me he hates Nazis.
Well, then, and he probably didn't appreciate you sending the stamp.
Even though we might at the beginning of the show every day kid about Rob and play tapes whenever Germany is mentioned.
Right.
Really, the whole Rob persona, it's a joke.
It's rooted in ironic satire.
There it is.
You see, but
there
you,
it is.
But you, my friend, by sending Rob a Nazi stamp,
it's disturbing.
and offering to send him a Nazi helmet that still has stained blood in it.
He wouldn't like that.
Now, what about the lesson I've just given you?
No, I mean, he wouldn't like the stained blood?
No, the stained blood part is, I mean, the fact that it was, you know, taken off a dead Nazi, that's a good thing, I suppose.
I think that is good, and, you know, I think it's great that
but it's still, you know, collecting stuff.
Yeah, and blood stains are no good, irregardless of where they came from.
Well, that could be.
Now, I'm curious, you wrote, thanks for the trade. What did
I take it I'm not going to have a trade now.
No, I'll send you the autographed picture.
Oh, is that what he wanted in trade for the helmet? Was a picture of us?
Yeah, but not forged.
It'll be forged.
I figured as much.
Okay, but just tell me that on some level you understand what I'm saying about Rob.
I understand completely.
Very good. And okay. So, is there an outside shot that you were doing irony and satire as well?
This is...
Sir, can you hear me?
Sarcasm. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, how come you're not answering me then?
Well, my cell phone's probably messed up.
Okay.
Hey, pull over for a minute because it's getting bad. Hey, I was just joking around and it was sarcasm.
Oh, very good.
All right, well then that's good to hear.
That's fine.
Describe sarcasm. Describe sarcasm to me.
Why are you busting my balls, Don? I was doing something nice.
Because I feel that you've been given too much credit by the people around me. Please describe sarcasm.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, listen. I'm a Packer fan too.
What is sarcasm?
Poor Brett, goddamn! I sure hope he gets back.
He'll be fine.
What is sarcasm?
What is sarcasm?
Yes.
I was joking around.
What is sarcasm, though?
What is sarcasm? Well, you sure put me on the spot.
Well, you mentioned it after Mike and...
Probably a tough question for somebody that can't spell awesome.
After Mike and everybody gave you the help there to give you an out, to say...
Even Mike was all right with it?
No, I'm not all right with it. I don't like it, even when you're joking. I probably get more creeped out about seeing a swastika come through the mail than anybody else here. But I'll tell you, I think maybe you were joking, but you know what? Rob's gotten calls from people that... really think that Rob seriously feels that way.
And I was asking you, since Mike gave you the help where he said, well, I bet you're being sarcastic, and you said, yeah, I was wondering just if you could tell me what the word sarcastic means.
What it means, I don't know if I can get it exactly right. It means I was going along with something, but I didn't mean it. I was joking in a jokingly manner.
A jokingly manner.
And you're not like a collector of that stuff, and you don't adhere to
it. Well, if I collected, I wouldn't get rid of it. I just found it in all this old crap I have. And when you guys talk about Rob and stuff, I'll send it to him.
Okay, but Rob, I think I speak for Rob, really doesn't want your Nazi paraphernalia.
Thank you, Don.
Well, you know, matches are for cheap, you know, just burn it.
Burn him. Don, he's offered,
you got
he's
it.
Telling you to burn something.
All right, we'll burn it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good.
Chuck,
let's burn it right now.
Chuck, if I misread you, Chuck, I apologize.
Oh, quite all right. Us Packer fans got to stick together.
Hey, he likes you now.
Can we burn it right now?
Do it. Please do.
If you like.
It could be quite valuable among philatelists.
Yes, no, hold on a second. We do have a guy on the phone who says that it could be worth something.
Yeah.
Hello, Jeff.
Rob could take the money and give it to a good cause.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Listen, I do have some family that has some history on this. This was a kind of a folklore piece. It was never used for legal tender for sending mail, any sort of postage on mail.
Well, it's
this is really nothing more than the equivalent of a Pokemon sticker or something.
Oh, all right.
Well Don's actually burning.
I'm not a full-on expert, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I don't know. I might be actually burning up something that's worth... Oh, there it goes.
Hundreds, thousands of dollars. And now, consider it burned. It's been burned.
Here it's burned. Just,
there you go.
Congratulations, Rob.
Chuck, the thing is, it's just guys like you that every once in a while, I think we got to set the record straight. I mean, the show is not that complex.
Do you think this falls under the category of leave the driving to us?
Yes.
Let people do that satire and that very delicate satire.
Right.
You leave it in the hands of trained professionals.
Exactly.
Okay, Chuck?
Well, you guys make me laugh.
Oh, all right.
Thank you.
And I agree. It's your job to make me laugh.
Right, Chuck. All right, Chuck.
Thank you for thinking of us, Chuck. And ladies and gentlemen, keep those cards and letters coming.
Okay, Chuck.
Get my picture.
All right, yeah, he'll send you your picture.
Send your picture. You got it. And you know what, Chuck? I promise it won't be forged because I have something I want to write, especially to you.
Hey, don't write nothing that I'm a Nazi lover because I'm not.
We established that, Chuck.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks,
see you later
Chuck.
On, guys.
Hey,
okay.
Chuck.
Bye.
Chuck?
Yeah.
If Don writes anything like that on the picture, just know that it's in a jokingly manner.
Yeah, if I write that you're a Nazi, N-A-T-Z-I, I'm just being sarcastic.
That's right.
And that's awesome, F-O-M.
I'm just joking.
Okay.
All right, bye, Chuck.
Bye, Chuck.
Hey, later on.
There he is.
Our friend Chuck.
You know.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes, Chuck. Oh, Chuck's still on the line.
Yes, Chuck.
Hey, burn one, Buzz.
There you go. Yeah, Chuck just loves it.
He gets it now.
Yeah, he really gets it.
He's with it now.
Later on.
Go. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hang up.
Right, he gets it. He sure does get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's freaky when that kind of crap comes through the mail.
You don't know.
You know,
why'd I get mixed up with that bitch?
Because she got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
Jesus. Ferocious, aren't I? When I think of asses... Woman's ass. Something comes out of me.
Oh, yeah. And you're listening to...
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
I never knew. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, is this Don?
And Mike, hi.
Hi. I was listening... And I was hearing you talk to the guy that sent Rob's BWAC a swastika.
Yeah.
And I think you're kind of down on that, but I think you should appreciate him as a listener to know that it might be sarcasm, but you use sarcasm in the radio all the time.
Honey, my point is, with that guy...
You don't like getting Nazi stamps.
It wasn't sarcasm with the guy. The guy was a dope.
We don't like getting Nazi stamps. That's it.
And you're right.
The whole thing sarcastic that you're saying that Rob's a Nazi.
Yes, but I'm telling you, and I'm going to have to...
I mean,
sell out
show,
Mike and Buzz and the rest, mm-hmm. who are trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't believe the guy sent the letter in the spirit of sarcasm.
Right. Oh, you thought that he really believed that Rob
Yes, and as evidenced by, mm-hmm. after I went through the entire thing about all the things
right.
that we kid about on the show, the last thing he said to Buzz was, light one up for me.
Right.
I thought he was being sarcastic then also.
How about when I
might be wrong, and I love your show.
How about when I said to him, you misspelled Nazi?
That was pretty ridiculous.
And he said, I don't have spell check, and my response was, it's handwritten.
I don't even need spell check, and I know how to spell Nazi.
Hey, the bottom line is, in all of this, whatever his motivations were,
yeah.
I don't think anybody on the show wants to get anything with a swastika on it, no.
Right.
It's disturbing.
And it happens every once in a while, and sometimes we call these people up. But, honey, I really think the guy doesn't get it.
I get it, and I apologize but I just thought it was like he listened to your show, and he realized that whatever Rob's into, and so he mailed it to you. I just thought that was a
fun. I don't think when he mailed it to Rob, given the real explanation. I mean, anybody that knows this show knows we joke about political incorrectness and all that stuff. But you know what? It disturbs me when somebody sends something like that through the mail.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
It's weird.
At least it didn't have anthrax on it.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah,
I apologize for that.
You're right. A piece of work. Thank you, honey.
Sarcasm in itself.
All right.
I
know.
I love the show.
Try
thank you.
Thanks for getting it.
All right.
Thanks.
Nice talking to you.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
She spells Nazi with a C.
Jesus.
Hello.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to point out to Rob that before he's quick to jump down somebody's throat for words that they use that may not be in the dictionary, he should not use such words himself. There is no such word as irregardless. It is only regardless.
There is regardless.
I'm
surprised that you did that.
I realized that as I said it.
What do the people down at Virginia Commonwealth University think?
Yeah, you know what?
I heard it, and I will tell you, it was just like somebody putting a little needle in my right one when you
said
that.
I know.
That does not come out of your mouth very
much. Mike, I heard it, and I did not even freaking notice it.
Irregardless.
You know what they're saying at VCU right now?
What are they saying?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
I noticed you said irregardless too, but I was going to be nice. I wasn't going to point it out.
No, I think he was giving it as an interpreted thing.
But, hey, Rob, you can't really use any more that because you have Jewish blood in you, you can't be a Nazi.
Okay.
Because I actually know of people who, I know black people and Jewish people that are actually so-called Nazis.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. I know. It's very crazy.
That is crazy.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
We're all grabbing our ties right now.
Hello. Hi, Don and Mike. Yes.
Yeah.
From Philly. I just wanted to say I feel really sorry for myself because all these really stupid people keep calling in and just,
No, listen, don't feel sorry for yourself. The point of this exercise is feel good about yourself.
Right. Yes.
Feel good about yourself.
I love you guys. It's just, I can't stand, like, particularly Sacramento. I think they should go back to recorded shows because live, they keep calling in and just proving how dumb they are.
They do seem to call quite frequently.
They went up, Buzz. Seriously.
Thank you, my friend. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, first of all, F that guy from Sacramento. Second of all, Don and Mike, don't you think if the guy was a Nazi, he would not have spelled the word Nazi or even do a Nazi diagram?
You know, that's not a bad point. That's not a bad point if he really was one.
I don't think to join up, though, that you necessarily need to know how to spell it or
draw
it.
And I think the people that would join up today
not that
probably are not not the swiftest in the world.
They
right?
really have relaxed the entrance exam.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, this man is a professional.
Thank you.
That's the first real laugh I've had during the whole discussion.
Irregardless.
Before.
And me, I still think... Irregardless is fine. Use it as much as you want. Hello, Don and Mike show. Irregardless what these other book smarts think, I think it's fine.
Regardless of what we say.
Hello, irregardless.
Change the subject. When are you guys going to take pictures of the lovely Lisa Herndon?
Lisa has her Playboy photos scheduled for next week.
Should be a ratings booster.
Should be, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
He smells sulfur.
Should be a booster in your pants. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I'm just calling to say that in Webster's Dictionary, you can't find the word irregardless. It's a slang term for regardless established around 1927, 1937, somewhere in there.
So irregardless is a word.
Irregardless can be found in Webster's Third Collegian Dictionary.
That means it is a word.
It is a word.
You know what? I think
unfortunate.
That's unfortunate.
That's the end of the world as we know it.
Now Buzz is going to his dictionary.
That's the end.
Tom is ashamed as he should be. He shouldn't be ashamed of that because it is actually a word.
All right. Thank you. Now, going to the world, Buzz, you're looking it up?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that won't change what the caller said, irregardless of what Buzz does.
Very true.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey there, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Rob, I got to educate you from the dark side here. I lost my eyes 4 years ago. Now, the thing is, you can't see the pretty women, but you got to listen to them bitch all the
time. Man has a point.
All right, thank you. Well,
blind listener, Rob.
Well, not a problem in my house.
Thank you.
I tell you that, irregardless of what you say.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, guys, I hope you give Sacramento a break. We haven't been the same since our mom died.
Amen. Now let's go to the World Wide Web.
Very good.
Courtesy of Al Gore for two things I spotted on the web.
Okay. One thing I already mentioned to Mike, and I'm amazed that this gets written up on DCRTV.com.
Yes.
And the guy's like a fan of the show.
I hope so.
I think. Earlier today, of course, when I mentioned that if the sniper called us to help as a middleman of the police, mm-hmm. we'd give him concert tickets and a 7-Eleven prize pack.
Right. Yes, if he called us to turn himself in.
That, again, was a joke.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course. Yes.
Well, it's written up here. I don't know if the guy's busted my balls.
Right.
If he thinks it was a bad joke.
I don't know.
But it's written like news.
Right.
Sniper coverage stuff. Heard on airwaves today. Self-described superstation, WJFK's Don and Mike, encouraged the serial sniper to call them or turn himself into police. If he does, the PM Drive duo said they are prepared to give him a 7-Eleven prize pack and tickets to Guns N' Roses. Don went on to call the sniper a sick, twisted F.
The fact that they included that part means he was just, maybe it was a slow news day.
No, I don't know.
You're like me, aren't you? I mean, whenever we see anything, even if it's on a website, anything in print, we think they're trying to slam us.
Yeah. I mean, we say 8,000 million things a day on
the
show.
That was the beginning of the show when all of this sniper stuff was very top of mind. But you know what? The fact that he included the last part was cool.
I don't know. And the real news from the web, though, is if you go to 102.7.com, which, of course, is the new home of country music, in New York City.
Hey. Really?
Oh, that's right.
Really?
That's right. They did it. They did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go.
Yeehaw.
Well, that kind of ends that, doesn't it?
Let me read to you. I know a lot of people had sent us faxes wondering why a month ago when we were offered the chance to go back on WNEW, why we said no.
There you go.
A lot of them said, why would you turn down the chance? Well, because we knew that this was the next step. Let me pull my microphone over here and read this to you. What's new? Mike, take a look at it. There it is, Country 102.7.
Oh, my God.
I understand there's some history here because this is the station that for about a year and a half we attempted to broadcast on in New York.
Mm-hmm.
What's new? NEW, you found us. Welcome to the new NEW, Country 102.7.
Wow.
Just what New York really needs.
I don't think anybody saw that one coming. Really? I saw a format change, but man, country.
Real country music on the radio.
You get any wind of this before they flip this?
That's a
shocker.
Everybody I talked to said it was going to be...
Hispanic, right?
Soft rock.
Soft rock, okay.
What New York needs, real country music on the radio. We're working some of the kinks out of the tractor now. Stay tuned as we build the new Country 102.7 website, and stay tuned to hear a new Country 102.7 on the radio real soon.
I'm a big, big fan of the Texan Fez show.
That's funny. Hold on. We got a guy who says that's bogus.
Huh.
Cliff.
Yeah, hi, Don.
How would you know that's bogus?
Well, I checked the domain registration database.
Yeah.
And they say that it's registered to Viacom, but they spell it V-A-I-C-O-M.
Entirely possible that it is Viacom.
But they also list their contact telephone number as 212-555-1212.
Oh, now that could be a scam.
Tells me it's probably bogus.
Well,
a great story anyway.
You know, I don't think so.
Did you just do this right now?
Yeah, I was on DCR TV about 10 minutes ago, and I was doing a little research.
All right, hold on. Let me go to... Well, if it's phony...
Well, you know, and they might have printed the phone number like that because they don't have the phone number up yet.
Could be.
I mean, that is it's a small possibility.
Yeah.
Well, that's the number for contacting the web owner. It's not even on the... It's a registration... Database.
Now, the nerd speak is overwhelming me.
You're one of those creeps that when you see a website, you immediately go to see all of the soft, cotty underbelly of it, right?
Exactly.
Who knows?
No, the only reason I went to check was because DCR TV wondered if it was legit.
Copyright? Hold on. Lisa, come in and talk to me. Please don't speak to me on instant message.
I'm looking at WNEW.com, which was the old website we used to use, and it's very much the same. They're still doing the talk format.
All right, now what are you doing?
I
right here, the copyright to Vacom.
Right, the guy just said that
right.
He spelled different.
Link here to email the web dude.
Link here to email the web dude.
Nobody would write web dude.
So this could be a hoax. It's a hoax. Oh,
yeah.
Guilty.
It got us.
Guilty.
Yeah,
I think
web
so.
Dude at country1027.com.
Guilty.
Country1027.
Well done.
That is well done.
Wow, if it's a fake, it's well done.
Well, we got duped. We got duped on it. But we have heard rumors for months that something is in the offing.
Yeah, well, they're not going to stick with what they're doing. And see, Buzz has got the other side over there.
Yeah, it's the same old site that when we worked there.
Same old site.
Just with different shows.
That's funny.
All right.
So who knows?
Yeah.
Well, who knows? I got to, you know, if it's a hoax, they sure do have a lot of stuff. They have a bio on Faith Hill.
Right.
They got a bio on Leanne Rimes. Irregardless, I would have to say...
Irregardless of the situation.
This is pretty freaking funny.
That is amazing.
Hold on now.
Wendell.
Thank you, Lisa. Who found this?
Wendell.
Wendell went and found that this is... the registered name is Robert Daniels.
Oh.
So I guess it's a scam.
Okay. All right. Charlie's brother.
I guess it's a scam.
All right.
Hold on.
Charlie Daniels. And he would be motivated to put up a country website.
Sure.
All right, and let me.
But
see,
what?
Jason Tony, who was the first to send me this link.
You know, if it is a hoax, this guy is going to love what we do. It's what he lives for.
Might be a cyber squatter trying to anticipate what that station's going
to
do.
Let me go to Jason Tony, who sent me this first. Hey, Tony.
Hey.
All right, so you sent this to me first.
Right on. I was hip to it from our friend on the West Coast who's working for Westwood. They used to work here.
Oh, Jim McClure.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you hear through the grapevine about a possible format change at that radio station?
Yeah, well, that stuff's been flying around for months now. Okay. I mean, when was it? Winter? In the dead of winter we were talking about that? When you guys were still on the radio station, basically?
Right. Okay.
But I just noticed nowhere on the website does it have the call letters. So I'm thinking we've probably been had.
Ah.
All right, well, yeah. I don't mind. I guess I'm out here front and center that I bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Next time, though, you're going to send me a link. Please make sure it's a real one.
I'll check my
facts. Because I'll take the blame as well. But I was very happy to report the demise of WNEW.
This one's on me.
Yeah, that's all right, Tony.
Thanks. All right.
Give our best to Megan.
Bye-bye. Oh, I forgot that's his deal.
Yeah. Some baseball games, that would be 0-2.
You know what's really shocking here is that it fooled Jim McClure.
Now that's sarcasm.
That's a miracle.
Another one of the think tank members here.
That is a miracle. That's a stone cold miracle. And I'm so glad he's still in the pipeline. That numbnut.
So it started with Big Gum Jim.
What the
worked
hell?
Worked its way to Jason Tony, then worked its way here.
102.7 WNEW in New York. Our business hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you are trying to reach the show that's currently on the air, call our studios at 212-757-1027. If you know the extension of the port calling, you may dial that number now. If you do not know the number and wish to dial my name, press the star key.
Okay.
Using the keys on your touch tone telephone, please begin spelling the last name of the person you wish to reach. You have spelled...
Ken Stevens.
Wow.
This is the name of the person you are calling. Press 1. To spell a different name, please hold.
Here's contacting the other side.
If he picks up, I'm going to die.
This is a moment. This is a moment right here.
Yellow.
Switching over to voicemail.
I think it'll be Ken's.
The call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. The mailbox belonging to...
Ken
Stevens.
...is full. To disconnect, press 1.
I'll
go to another number, press 2.
Thank you for calling 1010 Wins. And
please dial the number of the person you're calling. If you...
How do I get back to the...
Please redial the number of the person you're calling.
I don't.
If you have a mailbox on this system, please press pound.
I don't. I'm going to go back to zero.
I'm sorry. An operator is not available to help you. Please dial the number of the person you're calling. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye, Country 102.7.
There's one other person in the world.
Yeah, I know you were dying. Were you doing a little spelling there?
I was.
Yeah, I thought so.
Thanks for calling 102.7 WNEW
Thank
New
you.
York. Our business hours are 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you are trying to reach the show that's currently on the air,
whatever it may
call
be.
Our studios at 212.
If you'd like to get the stains out of the carpet.
1027.
Right.
If you know the extension of the party you were calling,
I don't.
You may dial that number now.
Okay.
If you do not know the number and wish to dial my name,
I do.
Press the star key.
Using the keys on your touch tone telephone, you have spelled
Jeremy Coleman.
If this is the name of the person you are calling, press 1. To spell it, please hold.
You think he...
Will his mailbox be full?
Think his box is full?
I think not.
No. I'll go the opposite. I bet it's full. I bet it's crammed full.
Let's wait and see, shall we?
This is Jeremy Coleman in WNEW Programming. I am currently out of the office. While out of the
out
office,
of work.
I will not be returning business-related phone calls. If this is business-related, please contact the Assistant Program Director, Craig Schwalb. If it's for me, regardless, you're welcome to leave a message, and I will be checking messages.
You're regardless.
At the tone, please record your message.
Oh, okay, right.
At the end of your message, press 1.
Still checking.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
All right.
He'll know.
Message erased.
At the tone,
please re-record your message.
All right,
at the end of your message, press 1.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
What happened to that thing?
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To send your message with normal delivery, press 1.
Urgency.
To send your message with urgent delivery, press 2. Thank you.
Send that right over to the village. Send that right over. Jesus. Well, that was a very weird trip down memory lane.
Still in the system.
Yeah. Who the hell knows?
Be very afraid.
Who the hell knows?
You never know.
All right. So they're not country yet.
No.
Good job with the website. You fooled us.
I see deaf people.
You know who would know? Would be John Edward.
Yes.
Vicious call.
He would know what's going on. He would know all about any format changes from the other side.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Something awful. It's a young man. Heart disease. A silent killer. Hey, there are worse ways to go. Even still, I'm the bitch you're doing. Pretty f***ing humiliating. So I always die. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. For those who are Simpsons.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
What's it ever they say? It got to be funky. The Don and Mike.
All right, let's see. Later this week, I told you a trip to Las Vegas we're giving away.
Sin City.
Courtesy of VR Max, available at finer health food stores, pharmacies, retailers everywhere. Call 1-800-DIAL-VMAX. Thursday on our DJ calendar, we noticed it's National Bologna Day.
All right.
So we'll be having an in-studio contest. How much bologna can you get in your underpants? I think we'll supply the bologna. Don't bring your own bologna.
Oh, good. I hope they're leftovers.
And that's topless, incidentally. For guys and girls. Also on the show this week, the woman who's never shaved herself anywhere. Armpits, legs, bush.
I'd be more grossed out if I hadn't seen a picture of this lady, but she is, even in all of her hairiness,
she's good looking.
She's very attractive.
Yeah. Her website, www.modellife.com. Also, Bad Breath Doctor coming on the show this week. The girls from the Bikini Karate Babes, a new video game. And tomorrow, a guy who's written a book about TV's most unforgettable moments.
Right.
And coming soon, Lisa Herndon poses for Playboy.
The Lisa Herndon photo shoot only on the Zoo.
And also... a guy who's got some website where you can get a mail order bride.
Ah.
We've got him on the show. Finally, yes, the guy who's got the website so you can get yourself a nice mail order bride.
Isn't that fantastic?
In the tabloids. Oh, before the tabloids. Hold on, I almost forgot. Yesterday was Sunday. That means today's Monday. And the Sopranos were on last night. Excuse me, the Sopranos. And we enjoy doing our reviews and. You want to go first?
I'll go first this time.
Okay, here is Mike with his Sopranos review.
The Sopranos by Mike. I will say something positive at first. I was very happy that the Sopranos episode last night did not center around Janice and Bobby Bacala, although Tony and Janice did have a sit-down dinner. I liked the energy between them, and I was just happy to see one episode where Bobby Bacala was not crying. But overall, the episode just didn't work. I implore the Sopranos, go back to just a little gratuitous violence, okay? He gave us a little TNA when Tony was in bed with one of his Russian babes, but... You don't communicate violence on The Sopranos by having Furio stand at the door of the French guy, implying that he's going to go in there and kick his ass. You show me violence by showing the guy getting his ass kicked, which I wanted throughout the entire show. That was the payoff that I wanted. I wanted the guy that borrowed money from Artie Bucco to get his ass kicked, especially after he beat up Artie Bucco. And you didn't give that to me. Thank you.
Wow. Highly passionate.
I was passionate towards the end because I really felt it.
All right. And I have a take not that different from yours. Just waiting for the tape to re-cue. Should be any moment now. You got it, Robbie? Okay, loaded. Sopranos by Don. Okay. I knew it wasn't going to be good when the credits were on because it was written by Michael Imperleone, whatever that douchebag's name is, who plays Christopher. And every episode he writes sucks. And it was directed by Steve Buscemi, who directed the one we didn't like last year, where Paulie Walnuts and the guys were lost in the woods.
Oh, a horrible episode.
However, I still stayed with it because it's still the best show on TV. Folks, I know it's a great drug. I know a lot of people are addicted to it. I'm tired of Christopher shooting up with heroin. Also, I'm tired of the BS that is revolving around Tony and Carm. You know what I want? I either want them to get it on and be happy, or I want him to go out and be a bad, bad guy and just F Carm. And I don't mean that literally. And also, we really got screwed with the Mercedes girl. We really did, and I don't want to see AJ getting laid
either. Good.
Thank you. That's it.
I was thinking about it. I forgot completely about that plot line, too.
But other
with AJ and the rich girl,
right? Other than that, I love the show. Other than that, I just love it.
And I go hot and cold on your yours and Rob's show, the Larry David show, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Was a funny one last night.
Last night, I mean, I don't know if that was one of the funniest Larry David shows I'd seen. I think it's one of the funniest comedies I've seen when he used the thing about his mother dying to get ahead in the world. It was great.
And here now we have Yes Head.
Larry David needs to use his agent more, though.
Yeah.
Any scene that doesn't have Jeff Garland in it will always be better.
When the gravedigger said, go dig up your own mother, you had to laugh. When I was making sure that
And then the agent was part of the digging crew.
Very cool to have him.
Was that the old, was that Shelley Berman?
It was good.
Playing Larry David's father, right. Who is hysterical with his bald head. It's great.
You know, Richard Lewis, who was featured on the show an awful lot.
Maybe just a little too much.
As Larry David's good friend, Frida told me she was watching, for some reason, a rerun of Seventh Heaven. I've never seen that show. It's on the WB.
Right.
She said that Richard Lewis was playing a rabbi.
Really?
On Seventh Heaven.
Can you imagine Richard Lewis as your rabbi?
No.
My God.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Hi, Donna Mike Show. Hello. Are you there? All right. Hi, Donna Mike Show. All right, it's up to the phones. From the tabloids. Now, how come she didn't follow through on this? Patricia Heaton. Depression drove me to suicide.
Oh, no.
We came so close
to
losing
her. We were catching her on one of those days.
Everybody loves Raymond star Patricia Heaton, and if you're wondering why we read this, it's because we did an interview with this broad a couple of years ago.
And she was positively evil to us.
It went horribly bad. Certainly not our fault. All on her. And she then went over our heads and tried to get us fired.
Right. Yes.
Because she didn't want to take the sex quiz.
Right, exactly. Instead of just respectfully saying, I don't want to answer that, or I don't want to take the quiz, she decided to get angry at us.
She got all bent out of shape. Patty Heaton, as the late Ken Stevens used to call her, Patty Heaton. Let me see, a dark cloud of depression settled over Patty Heaton in her 20s when she was down and out of New York. After years of struggling to try and make it as an actress, this is from the New Star tabloid. She felt so alone, she decided to end it all. I guess these are quotes from her book that she has out. Here's a quote from Patricia Heaton. I was sitting in the bathroom wondering if you could slit your wrists with a disposable razor. You know, those little blue ones you get in a six-pack? The answer is, no, you can't.
Oh, boy. Heavy duty.
What saved her, Mike?
What saved her, Don?
Her faith.
Oh.
And her love of acting.
There you go.
I thought it would really be a waste if I died. Because if I ever get an acting job, I'll be able to use this time dramatically, says Patty Heaton.
Patty.
World's biggest...
Man, if that is not the most contrived...
Unkay.
...statement I've ever heard.
Okay. So that's Patty...
She's disturbing.
Patty Heaton.
I don't know which disturbs me more, that article right there or what Rob Gutman meant. You made what came in the mail go away.
Heaton disturbs me more than that. Patty Heaton disturbs me more than some guy sending Rob a swastika in the mail. Hello, Donna Mike Show. And don't put that on DCRTV.com.
Come on, you can't just print the controversial stuff.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello.
Oh, no, I was going to say, there's something wrong with the phones. Hello?
There's something wrong with this gentleman's brain.
Hello?
Yoo-hoo!
Don and Mike.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
What's happening?
You're on the air.
I know. I'm calling about the Sopranos. How come they ain't got no brothers on that show?
Sometimes there's brothers on that show.
Man,
but you're right. I don't see a lot. Well, there's not a lot of brothers in the Italian Mafia.
Man.
But when they did the whole episode with the music producer and Hesh, they had a veritable plethora of African American actors.
Man, we're gonna get a show with the Jamaican Mafia.
I think that would be fantastic.
Hey, can I ask you another question?
You got a hell of a bobsled team.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to know how come Barbara Walters wasn't on that list of talk show hosts.
That's a good point.
You mean from the other day? No idea.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Thank you. I don't know. Hello, Donna Mike. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Mike. Hello.
Hi, Dick.
Hi, yeah, this is Dick. I was talking about Richard Lewis playing the rabbi on Seventh Heaven.
Yes, another sir. Dick.
Yes.
Yeah, his daughter marries one of the sons of the main character on the show, but it was just so funny to watch him. It was absolutely implausible to see him as that because of all the, because of his paranoia and everything. It was so stupid, and his hands were all going around in the air and everything. It was absolutely horrible.
And with all this rabbi talk, all I have been thinking since you mentioned rabbi is the rabbi from the repeat of 6 Feet Under, the rabbi on that show who is so turbo hot.
I never watched that show. Oh. I'm out of the loop on that.
It's a weird little relationship she has with one of the main characters, this rabbi, and she's kind of talking to him. You know the lady I'm talking about?
It's a great show.
She's got it going on.
Donna Mike, hello.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
Good. Hey, let that guy know there's going to be a lot of brothers on next week's episode. Sopranos, did you see the upcoming highlights where Tony takes AJ to the old neighborhood?
Oh, that's right, the Bronx.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yep. No, you're absolutely right.
And, Mike, you hit the nail on the head. I'm sitting there with my wife, and I said the exact same thing as you did. Where the hell was the gratuitous violence?
Yeah, I mean, Furio standing in a doorway. And not even, you know, they just gave it like a nanosecond. You didn't even see, no payoff.
Yeah, it was just, and Furio was smiling at the door.
The only violence was the French guy and Bucco having like a girl fight.
And he pulled out Artie Bucco's earring. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on there?
Okay. Yeah, no, nothing's going on. What can we do for you?
Hey, last night when Furio showed up at the guy's door, they're going to forget about that just like they did with the guy getting, you know, lost in the woods with Polly and Chris.
You'll never see Furio kick that guy's ass.
No.
But it did establish Artie Bucco as definitely the uber pussy of the Sopranos.
And also,
where was Lark Voorhees, too?
Would you stop it about the Lark Voorhees stuff?
I don't think either one of you brought up my least favorite moment is that we actually got to see Janet last night, or Janice, sucking the marrow out of a bone.
Oh, that was gross.
It reminds me of the way Ma used to do it.
And you know what? I don't care for the nice Tony, even if he was guilted into it.
Yeah.
Because his girlfriend offed herself.
I don't like the nice. Of course, he's as nice as he can be.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, limited.
Right? Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Boy, was Meadow looking strong last night.
She was.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, Mike.
Yes.
Buddy, that,
Buddy.
You were talking about on a 6 Feet Under, they played the rabbi.
Yeah.
I saw her in a film a couple, maybe a year or so ago called The Center of the World. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Well, dude, she plays a stripper in the movie.
Yeah.
And, there's a couple, you know, really turbo hot, naked scenes in that, man. You ought to check that out.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you very much. I like that amateur Mr. Skin here. That's
right.
Good.
One more before I break. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
That comment that guy made about being no African must not have watched last night because I do believe where Meadow marked, there was a couple there, right?
Oh, don't. Hey, and don't forget that Meadow actually went out with a guy who Tony referred to as a charcoal briquette.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember when Meadow was with the mulatto?
Sure.
Yep.
Mulatto.
Yeah,
I heard of Mignon, so. All right, Mignon. Thank you. Goodbye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, also from the tabloids, Robbie, I know we have to break.
We do.
But when we come back, I want to read you a story and then call the celebrity to get his take on it.
Very good.
The headline in the Globe says, Dr. Phil is a fraud.
All right.
Dr. Phil is a shameless ripoff artist.
Mm-hmm.
He left Kansas one step ahead of the law.
Kansas buzz.
Uh-huh. So we will read this and call the lovable Dr. Phil right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show. If you could listen to them, would you? Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Ooh. I should mention we have copies of the Spider-Man, the DVD.
Boy.
And the video will not be out until November 1st. Spider-Man. We do have copies of Spider-Man. We'll be giving those away. And also tomorrow on the show, I think we might do the Howie Love Connection because we have the entire sections of tickets for Guns N' Roses.
Right.
December 9th, MCI Center from Ticketmaster.com. That's on tomorrow's show. Okay, the tabloid headline says, Dr. Phil is a fraud. Let me read you a little of this, and then we'll call the good doctor.
Good.
Globe exclusive. And they have actual documents here. So maybe it's not all
I like the pictures of Dr. Phil. They're just, you know, not real hard. You don't have to make a real effort to find an unflattering picture of Dr. Phil.
True. Hey now, he looks so much like Hank Kingsley.
He does.
Really does. Dr. Phil McGraw is a scam artist who skipped town one step ahead of a state attorney. The towering TV advice guru left Topeka, Kansas in a wake of complaints, charging he ripped off health spa customers. It was a consumer fraud investigation. It appeared that Dr. Phil was pulling off a textbook example of a membership scam. He's 52. He was on Oprah. He's got his own show now. He started the Grecian Health Spa in Topeka in the late 70s.
Sounds a little dirty.
He was a hands-on owner, and it extended to his accounting practices. If a customer signed up in cash, it would be deposited straight into Phil's pocket. Phil was the president of the corporation. He was a salesman. He was very overbearing. He would take clients, mostly female, into his office and close the door. Sometimes the women came out crying. It also seemed weird that Dr. Phil kept a mattress in his office. I don't think anybody dared venture what that was all about. They refer to him as McGraw.
Yeah. McGraw.
McGraw, who now preaches people should take their responsibility for their actions, hasn't followed his own advice. His intimidating tactics help rack up memberships, along with a slew of complaints about his business. Tim Lozelli tells how his 18-year-old wife was pressured in 1972 when he was in the Army.
This is pretty interesting.
When I got back, I told them I was canceling the contract. Soon after, we started getting harassing phone calls threatening all kinds of action against us. Dwight Ellis filed a complaint claiming he was hoodwinked by Dr. Phil.
That's a good word, hoodwinked.
I love it. After being told he could try it out for a few weeks, he started receiving bills in the mail. I called Phil and angrily complained I'd signed a contract. He threatened me by saying he would have an attorney use all means possible to get the money back. I swear to God I never signed a single piece of paper during all the time I spent at the spa. McGraw was doing far more than using hard sales pitches on prospective customers. Shawnee County District Court papers obtained revealed that Dr. Phil and the local Southwest State Bank entered into an agreement that allowed the bank to purchase installment notes and papers from McGraw's corporation. This type of agreement allowed a spa owner like Dr. Phil, to sell membership contracts to the bank for a percentage of their long-term worth in cash. Then if you shut down, the members would be liable for contract payments to a non-existent spa.
Wow.
So
that is a scam.
They list, if I count the names, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, at least 12 people who are suing him now.
Wow.
So let's call Doc.
It's pretty nasty stuff. He has been tabloid fodder since the very, very beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
See what he has to say for himself.
Now, TV's beloved Dr. Phil.
I'd like to hear what he says.
Says he's a scam artist. Exclusive shocking details.
Hello?
Phil McGraw?
Yeah.
Don Geronimo?
Yeah, can you hold on a second?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to put the phone down for a second. Yeah. Bear with me, will you please?
All right, Phil.
Who is this?
Don Geronimo, Don and Mike Show?
I'm not sure I know you. Hold on a second.
I believe we've caught him going number two.
I think so.
I'm not going to be able. All right, all right, go ahead.
Dr. Phil?
Who's this?
Don Geronimo from the Don and Mike Show.
How are you?
Sounds to me like you were trying to take a number two.
Well, that's very perceptive. I am on the bull right now. We can go ahead and talk, though, if you'd like to talk, we could have this conversation right now, if you'd like to do that. I'm in the middle of, I'm having a little trouble with my system, and if you don't mind, I'll just continue to continue to do this as we do this interview. I need some toweling right now.
I am reading here in the, I think it's the Globe, stories about you leaving the state of Kansas.
Yeah.
One step ahead of the law?
No, that's not true. I have been tabloid fodder from the very, very beginning of this entire exercise. People take shots at you. They take shots at you anytime you aspire or try to become a big star. As soon as I got off of Oprah, that's when the barbs started being hurled at me. Excuse me. Just one second, please.
So you're on the commode right now?
I think really all of these stories that are surfacing about me from people like you are happening. thing because of the fact that I am as successful as I've become. Yes, I had a spa. It had beautiful toilets.
Now, when you were at the Grecian Health Spa,
yes,
did you or did you not have a mattress in your office? Bill?
I'm sorry.
Hey, doctor?
That is a lie. I did not have anything to do with a mattress in my office. These are stories that are fabricated by people who really want to be me. And as soon as they accept personal responsibility for yourself, you will be able to accept that, and you will be able to move on with your life.
All right. What about, I'm reading here that you would take female clients into the office.
The only thing you need to know about my spa is that at my spa, we have no man on man. It was all woman on man. If somebody wanted to come in after a stressful day, come into one of our rooms. We had 8 rooms, all with their own tables, and they would come in, and you'd get a piece of candy when you left.
Let me ask you a question. Was this like I think last week on the show I was talking about a place I went to back in the day in Indianapolis.
That's exactly what it is.
Before I was married, you could go in to get a handy job?
We had 8 rooms, 8 toilets, and I had a full Asian staff. And, you know, people complain about there was no membership. We were cash only. The mattress they're referring to in my office, my office was actually one of the massage rooms. And people like you take this fabricated story from some disgruntled employee, I don't know what her name is, and they hold on a second, just a second, please.
All right. I hope Dr. Phil's not having a problem like with hemorrhoids.
He will if he keeps
this. Yeah, I heard that. I am.
Because it's not good to push that much.
Yeah, I have had a BM inside of me for about as long as a man probably should.
How many days? How many days, Dr. Phil?
You're not going to believe how many days it's been. It has actually been 9 days since I've had a BM.
My.
The spa, that story has been hounding me from people like you, following me around. And people, the thing is, people don't understand. If they take charge of their own lives, they don't have to hurl the barbs. They don't have to take these shots at Dr. Phil. Now, back then, my name was Philip McGraw, and I had a beautiful, luxurious head of hair in those days. I was a very successful businessman. I offered a service that people required. All I'm about, Don, is helping people.
All right, listen, let me see if I can help you with this other problem.
Soaking doesn't work.
Here's what I want you to do.
Man, I tell you, that's soaking crap. You know, put the salt in the water. No, it only causes more agony.
I want you to sit upright. I want you to sit upright.
All right, I'm sitting upright right now.
I want you to breathe in through your mouth.
I appreciate this. So that we can talk about my condition.
And let it go out the nose. Through the nose. Now, I want you to think about...
I hear you.
I want you to think about missile silos. I want you to think about Tootsie Rolls. I want you to think about Toblerone candies. I want you to think about Hershey's Kisses. I want you to think about Milk Duds. Think about Junior Mints.
Your carny tricks are not allowing me to have a BM. I apologize. You don't understand the pressure I am under now. I dole out advice, but I have not taken my own nutritionist's advice, which is to load up on fiber. The food that I am eating is food that makes me happy because I make so many other people. I give of myself so much each and every day that what I do now is when I eat what I want. And my doctor and my nutritionist have both said what I'm eating is not good for digestive health, and I don't agree with that. I had a perfectly sensible dinner last night, a dinner that I would think would allow me to have a nice BM.
All right, Dr. Phil, what did you have for dinner?
I had pasta.
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Several pieces of cheese.
Yeah.
And some Cheetos. And then I had a big bowl of vanilla ice cream. Oh. Edie's Gourmet ice cream. It was wonderful stuff. And then at night, right before I went to bed, I ate a bit of tapioca pudding.
And Dr. Phil?
Damn, well, I'm bound up. It doesn't make sense to me. The tapiocas, those little clear things, are supposed to go into the intestine and flush your system out, and it's not working with me right now. I am stuck right now. I got something. I am capping. I'm capping. Dr. Phil is
capping. You're brown capping?
I'm brown capping, but it's more like a... It's more gray capping right now. Yeah. And I eat a lot of ham and veal.
How do you get the orange from the Cheetos off your fingers?
I lick it off. I actually lick it off right now. Or I dip it in water if I'm going to meet with a client. I'll dip it in water. And back when I was on the big show, Oprah used to do it for me. She loved that sauce that was on those Cheetos, and she would lick my fingers right before Dr. Phil would come on the show.
We have to break.
She was a great finger licker.
Real fast, before we have to break, I want you to think about...
Oh, my God.
I want you to think about happy times with Oprah.
Sweet, merciful crap.
Did it happen?
No, I'm bleeding.
Oh, no.
I have.
Had to happen.
I've broken some sort of vessel.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here. Hold on a second. I need to call the doctor.
All right, doctor.
I am bleeding. Jesus, someone help me. I'm bleeding from the anus. Help me. I'm tearing myself up. I'm tearing a hole in myself. Goodbye.
Dr. Phil's bleeding out.
There he goes, Dr. Phil.
Oh,
everybody.
No. You called him when he was on the throne.
He didn't have a lot to say about the charges about him being a shameless ripoff artist.
Well, it sounded to me like he was in a great deal of distress.
He hasn't had a BM in 9 days.
Well, listen to that diet.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
The Grecian health spa. And that's a pretty funny picture of a young Dr. Phil.
Yeah, he looks so handsome back there.
What is your lead story today?
Today, we thought we'd caught the sniper.
Right. All right. We'll get the sniper update.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up
on
the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional, Ross.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, honey. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, damn it, honey. Time for Buzz in the News. Buzz brought to you by Theromax Sexual Enhancer. Ooh. Have great sex more often with Theromax. Available at finer health food stores, pharmacies, retailers everywhere. Or call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Police investigating the D.C. area sniper have asked the media to repeat this message.
All right, let me turn the music off.
The person you called could not hear everything that you said. The audio was unclear, and we want to get it right. Call us back so that we can clearly understand.
Here's Radio 156, headline news.
Except that it's clear the police are communicating with someone close to the case. We don't know what's happening in the investigation.
I mean, the guy, the sniper.
Right.
He heard somebody.
Or someone close to him.
Yeah, or someone close to him.
It may have been the way it sounded.
Yeah, it's so, very much like
that. And the message to the sniper is...
Yes, it's the person you called could not hear everything that you said, the audio was unclear, and we want to get it right. Call us back so that we can clearly understand. That's the message.
Apparently, weird.
It was left on an answering machine, and the caller, and this is just a guess on my part, may have attempted to disguise their voice or muffle their voice in some way. In the course of doing that, the police...
This is Ward Cleaver. He come down with something.
Yeah, like that.
Real unexpected.
We do know...
Great, me.
We do know that the latest victim, the third person to survive a wounding by the sniper, is still in critical but stable condition. Doctors removed his damaged spleen and a bullet that matches the ones recovered from the other 11 people shot by the sniper who's still out there. It lifted our spirits for a while today to think police may have caught the guy. Officers swarmed a man in a light-colored van at a gas station not far from the latest shooting. Police were there at the ready after a phone tip that led them to a note in the woods also near the shooting. The note hinted at a need for money. But the man arrested there is a 24-year-old Mexican who's been working in this country without papers. He and a Guatemalan cohort were also arrested, and they've now been turned over to immigration officials.
All right, so the bottom line is today, now at the end of our work day,
right?
We don't know anything more than we really knew at the beginning of the day. We're still trying to, being the cops.
And it sounds like this letter that they were making a big deal of came from the Mexican and Guatemalan guy. It does sound that way, although police...
How the hell did they get it? So who are they talking to on the telephone, then? How did they set that thing up?
You
understand my question?
Yeah, I guess the alleged sniper or the person close to the sniper gave police in one of his notes a telephone number And they've been in contact with him, I guess, that way.
But you know what? They're so tight-lipped about it now
right.
that nobody knows anything. And
they're not giving any details on that.
All you really knew was what I told you.
Exactly.
Quite some long time.
And for the longest time...
All you knew...
...is what I told you.
Yeah. Well, we thought we had him today. We don't. Well, what we do know is there's an ongoing dialogue between the police and somebody who apparently does know something about the case. Now, we already know that, in other news, that 9/11 hurt the airlines, but while most air travel's gotten nearly back to normal, short trips are now being taken by car.
Yeah, you gotta fill up your car with gas.
Yeah, that's the rough around here. A new study says sales of airline tickets for trips under 400 miles are down by nearly a fourth, and the survey found that most of these travelers are now making the trip in their own cars, mostly to avoid the post-9/11 airport hassles. For the airlines, it's a factor that's meant the end of 80,000 jobs.
Right. I'd like to say that I think, you know, having flown just last week,
mm-hmm.
I think the airlines, the security people are kicking ass.
Yeah, doing
I think they're
job.
Doing a great job. They're not only doing it, but they're doing it, and I feel a lot better about the people that are in charge. They have made changes. Anybody
mm-hmm.
that's gone to an airport has seen that.
And let me just say, while I agree,
mm-hmm.
I also understand that now, because they are more thorough,
right.
You're going to wait an awful long time to go through security, to do all that other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, if you're at peak times...
yeah, you're screwed.
I mean, I would not... If I hadn't had a buddy of mine that was actually, you know, in line, this one flight I took when I went out to Las Vegas, I would have been... That was one of the longest lines I'd ever seen.
And right? beware, because I know Mike suffers from the same incurable disease as I do.
Don and I have little targets on us.
And that would be... hopelessly handsome.
Yes,
if,
yes that's what
if
it
in
is.
Fact you are hopelessly handsome.
I've heard a rumor that the security people are picking out only the handsomest men.
Mm-hmm. You will always be picked out.
Yes.
You will have to take your shoes off. You will have to lift your legs up in the air.
Right.
Do that whole thing with the miracle wand. And every time we fly,
right.
we both get the treatment.
Did you get the guy that lifted up your genitals?
No.
I wasn't
good looking enough.
Oh,
that's
man.
Just a courtesy.
I thought it would never end.
Rosie O'Donnell is back in the news. She's just hired a high-profile lawyer to help the two Florida boys charged with beating their dad to death.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
There he is. Rosie's publicist says O'Donnell got involved 2 weeks ago hoping to win a new trial for Alex and Derek King.
Let's keep her finger out of the dike.
The lawyer... says Rosie told her the case was, quote, tugging at her heart and that O'Donnell was offended by what had happened to the kids. Last week, a judge threw out the brothers' second-degree murder convictions. The jury decided that the boys let into the house the man who did the actual killing, so the boys were convicted as accomplices.
What is it? She just, you know, she left the TV show.
Yes.
Allegedly, so she would be out of the spotlight.
Well, she has all this free time now.
Yeah, I know she does.
Out of the magazine, out of the show. Got to be
lady.
Something.
She
gotta
lady.
Be,
she ought to be selling soft drinks and chips.
There you go. In Detroit today, a line of people 4 blocks long waited for a chance at stardom. It was an audition for the next round of the Fox talent show American Idol. Some of the contestants...
Ah, yeah, see, we're going to be doing it on the show again this week. You just wait, American Idiot, it's hot.
Timely.
Yeah. And we are a nation of idiots.
Some of the contestants came from as far away as Washington State. Detroit is the first of 7 cities where auditions will be held. Thousands of people are expected to try out for 30 spots on the show.
I'm going to warn you, we might do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, we only got 2 or 3 days we can do it in.
We have a better competition than the American Idol.
I know, it's one of those things that people either absolutely love
right.
or they absolutely hate.
And you know what? I don't think you're an American if you hate it.
So let me say, yeah. if you love it, it's coming up in the next couple of days.
Very good.
If you hate it, just a couple of segments on the show.
That's right.
That's
you'll
all. Win. But we're in there. Buzz, we got a break
all
now.
Right.
We've jumped in with both feet. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Even better than a nice hot bowl of nasal bisque. The Don and Mike Show.
What needs that? On a cold Monday, let me send this one up to the great eighth house.
Well,
the monkey likes his genesis. Here now is Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, in what had to be a jab at 49ers wide receiver Terrell Owens, a fan ran out into the field in San Francisco Sunday and offered to give the team his autograph. Patrick Ramsey's out and Shane Matthews is in as starting quarterback of the Washington Redskins. Brett Favre won't need surgery on his sprained left knee, and the Packers say they hope he won't miss any games. Green Bay's facing a bye week. The Rams have lost Pro Bowler Enos Williams for the rest of the season. He did need surgery on a sprained ankle.
That's Enos.
I thought it might be. The Bucs say Brad Johnson's doubtful for the Carolina game this weekend. He has a broken rib. 15-year veteran Chris Carter's come out of retirement. He signed a 1-year deal with Miami.
Carter.
The Steelers host Indianapolis on Monday Night Football. Michael Jordan plans to play in tonight's preseason game against the Nuggets in Denver. It's his first game since an injury last season.
Great. That means we're going to be able to get some more of those Michael Jordan press conferences. Nobody really turns the language upside down.
Absolutely.
Like Michael Jordan.
Fantastic.
And Latrell Sprewell is suing the New York Post for $40 million after it said he broke his
hand. What's up, Doc? How you doing?
What's up, Doc?
How you doing?
The paper said he broke his hand punching a guy. Sprewell says he fell.
What's up, Doc?
How you doing?
Finally.
Because I am.
I have to have a new one. She baited me.
Finally, Asian American groups.
What's up, Buzz?
Asian American groups have demanded and gotten an apology from the distributor of a Halloween costume.
Buzz.
Yes, Dennis.
How you doing?
I'm all right, Dennis. How are you? The adult outfit includes a mask with butt...
Wait. Start over.
Yeah, because it's a good story.
Okay. Asian American groups have demanded and gotten an apology from the distributor of a Halloween costume. There you go.
Yeah.
The adult outfit includes a mask with buck teeth and slanted eyes. The Organization of Chinese Americans asked Disguise Incorporated to take the costume off the market. The company says it has stopped shipping the Kung Fool, but it says it's already on the shelves at Party City and Walmart.
I heard you get it at AnnieMask.com.
I don't know.
Well, you did the commercial.
Yes, I did. The company says the costume is meant to be a parody of a Kung Fu character. But Asian Americans say the mask includes a headband that bears the Chinese character for loser.
Right.
Okay. He's saying, I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz Burbank.
No.
Yeah,
oh, no.
We got to go.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the good phone calls today. Very wacky today's show was.
Yeah.
We will see you with a new episode tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 Can you?
I want to thank everyone in Sacramento for getting the joke.
Can you?
Have you heard? I'm doing my morning show at night.
All right. We'll see. And
Toodaloo asks.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.